Blog Talk Radio.
Seven feet, barren, strange fruit, blood on the leaves. And blood at the root. Black bodies swinging in the southern breeze. Strange fruit hanging from the poplar tree. All the gallant south, them big bulging eyes and the twisted mouth. Scent of magnolia, clean and fresh. Then the sudden smell of burning flesh. Here is the fruit for the crows to pluck. Rain together for the wind to suck, for the storm to rock, for the leaves to drop.
Greetings, greetings, greetings. I am Mama Pearl, the ancient newcomer, National International Minister of Youth for the Provisional Government for Republic of New Africa. And I'm so glad and honored to be among you all again and be with my brothers here in the House of Culture Freedom Radio. And you know me, and if you don't, you will know I have to give the proper order that's always been working for me. And with all that being said, first and foremost, I have to give all praises to my Heavenly Mother, my Heavenly Father, the Most High, Highest, Creator of all creators and creations, in the name of my lifelong friend, the Messiah Jesus. Yes, 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 that's how I do it. And I like to start it, you know, from the beginning, so that every word that comes out of my mouth, I've already acknowledged it to the Most High. You know, so I'm good because I realize that all things work together for the good of those who truly know and love the Lord and is called by his purpose. And I truly know that, you know, I'm one of the ones that's called. The thing is, the problem is, all has been called. Everyone has been called, but only a few hear you know, and stand to attention, you know, and is obedient to that call. But everyone is called. You know, it wouldn't make any sense for the creator of all creators to create us to sit around like a lump on a stump or a rock because he created enough of those. You know, he created us and gave us a purpose, a soul, a spirit, an intellect, a consciousness with discernment so that we can be prepared for the call. And we're here. And I'm standing in the house of my brothers who are standing on that call as well. Greetings, my brother Sun Ray 9. Are you with me?
Oh, yes, mother. How you doing?
I am doing very, very well. Much better now. You know, I know I spoke with you earlier, a little tired, but I'm in rare form now, ready to go. Tonight, my brothers, my sisters, my babies, my people, you know, we want to, you know, take it on a different take the temperature down a little bit. You know, so much negativity isn't going on in the world. So much has been happening, and it's nothing new. It's been happening for the longest. But I think because of the social media and the, you know, and the television and all that, we're able to see so much, and we're internalizing this, and we're turning our hearts cold, and that we cannot do. Of course, we can be angry because these things have happened, and justification will be filled. We will be justified in what we're doing. You know, I mean, the ones who has created all this horribleness on us will receive the justice, okay? And that's one of the things I want to clarify, too, about this justice. And, you know, I acquired this from our honorable brother, you know, Marcus Mosiah Garvey. You know, he brought this awareness and this science to my mind. You know, we've always been crying for justice. We want justice. We want justice. Justice for the people. Justice for the people. Don't you know that it's exactly what we've been getting? Because we've been asking for justice. Justice is something that is imposed upon you. Get it? Justice is something that is imposed upon you, and we have been having justice imposed upon us because, one, we keep crying for justice, okay? What we want is righteousness so that the ones who has done the injustice can get the justice that they deserve. We have to start changing, you know, our tune, changing our mind, our perception about the words that we put out there. And when we're cognizant or we are clearly understanding of the words, the tones that we're putting out in the universe, the vibration, you know, when we're clearly understanding that, all things will work, especially when it comes from our heart. So we have to change those words around. We don't want no justice. We want righteousness. We've been given enough justice. We want some righteousness. You know, and I was saying, you know, there's so much horrible things are going on. Everybody's eyes is on Ferguson. You know, once we get this hardness out of our hearts and truly, you know, get back into our godly selves and do some praying, you know, we have enough warriors. There used to be a time, you know, back in our ancient days, you know, where we had elders. They were strategically located all across the globe, and specifically in our motherland, strategically located these elders, and they sat and they prayed and they meditated to the universal forces, to Mother Nature, and to the Most High. You know, they were in tune, they were connected, and they kept the evil spirits away. You know, they kept us in harmony with one another. We no longer have these elders who are praying anymore. We no longer have mothers who are praying for their children. There used to be a time when all the mothers, you know, when we were at home, I know this is what my mom did and aunties and, you know, the elder women who was around us, you know, the children, while the children was outside playing and, you know, getting connected with nature and exploring and being scientists and doctors and all this good things, and the man was out working, you know, out in the field, tilling the field, bringing home the bread, you know, being a man, doing these things to make his muscles and his bones and his physique strong like a man is supposed to be, you know. Mothers was at home cooking, doing whatever they do, but they were always in prayer, always in prayer. You have to cover your children in prayer. You have to do that, and you have to sincerely know that and be connected and be in tune, not only in your heart is going to control and teach your mind. Now, that mind of yours is a beast, which is not even located on your body, you know, and it's so simple. This whole process is so simple, and I just, you know, want to share my insight, you know, with my brothers, my sisters, my babies, and my people. Mind is not even on your body. Your mind is out there in La La Land somewhere, because the whole universe is mental. The whole universe, this thing is a big mind. And your mind, your little piece of it is in there, out in that universe somewhere. Not on your body, but it's out there. So you have to be able to control your thoughts. You know, you got to know. You have to build up your psychic self-defense. Your psychic self-defense, you have to know when something negative is coming in into you, something that is not you, of you. And so that's why you're told to know thyself first. You know, all of you scholars, I love it. You're great. You collected all this knowledge. You know it. You know it. You got the facts. Now sit down and get to know yourself. Know yourself. Mm. You know, because once you realize that in order to get out in the universe, to go within yourself, to get out there in the universe, you have to let all that knowledge go. And if you don't let it go, you can't lift up. You can't get out there in the universe. You can't meditate. You can't pray, because now you got all this knowledge and it's holding you down. That's like bricks. You know, you got the knowledge. The main thing was to get understanding of the knowledge. All knowledge lead back to the same place, yourself, because it's all within you. How do I know that? Because being raised up out there in the backwoods, you know, in South Kakalaki in that shack, having nothing but, you know, nature, and I was able to discern some things for myself. You know, I was able to get within myself. I was the book, because, you know, just watching nature, watching life, you know, and you're able to discern yourself some things. And then listening to my wise mother, and once I learned how to read, taught myself how to read at a very young age, you know, I mean, these all things that, you know, I did, you know, and I do know, I'm sounding like my big brother Jesus now, you know, if I can do it, you can do greater things, greater things than you should do, you know. So it's not an impossibility, you know. And one of the things that truly disturbed me the most, it disturbs me because you don't have the capability of doing that. You say it's impossible. That's crazy. I mean, you just shut your mind off just like that because you can't do it. No one around you have ever done it, so it's impossible. But yet you say you have growth and you're open-minded. Mm. That's ridiculous. You can't have it both ways. What say you, Brother Son?
Yeah. Let me stop before we get into and do this for you right here. That's what I'm talking about. See, that's that motherly wisdom, that motherly instinct and things that we truly need, you know. So we say that the black woman has to get back on the throne. This is one reason why we say that. And to hear that fire and that passion. And just like I played a clip, you know, a couple of weeks ago, with the soldier, with a young sister, the soldier in this thing, fiery. Like I said, Mama Pearl is our sister soldier. You know, we missing these type of things in our community. You know, and our babies are crying out for this type of wisdom, this motherly instinct, this motherly wisdom that they're getting. And you know, so many of them are mothers and caught up in worldly things, you know, twerking on videos and so many other things. They need this type of thing, motherly God. Like I said, the mother is the first teacher. And these teachings that Mama Pearl be giving us is the type of teaching that the babies need. This is what we need out here. And as men, we need to be on guard to be able to protect our mother's mind and protect our mother's body so they can pay to teach these babies, you know, to do these types of things. But, yeah, I'm just been sitting back too, so it's like you're trying to it's like you talk about when we talked about privately earlier. And even you were pulling back about like some of the things dealing with looking at the article, dealing with the Ferguson events and stuff. You know what? And I agree with you. Sometimes you do because we'll focus on that a lot so much it actually drains you a lot.
Mm.
It drains you when you're getting into constantly keep reading these articles and keeping up with what they're being said. Sometimes we know it's good for us to do that, but then sometimes we got to know when to pull back. Because that would try to it becomes a drain at the same time. So
yeah.
You have to look at it because they constantly keep putting this stuff out. Somebody getting shot. Somebody getting hung. Somebody get it does. It drains you. So like I said, you have to. The sacred wisdom or Tahuti or the Hermetic text. If the Europeans like to call them the Book of Hermes, they talk about polarity. So sometimes we have to change those polarities. Don't get caught up in that one dimension way of thinking and one dimension way of doing things. And we have to change that. So when we get too much caught up in one thing, let's start changing that polarity and move away from a lot of that and start focusing on a lot of positive things, positive
Absolutely.
Way of thinking. Because they will drain you. You start getting them headaches and you start feeling tired and depressed and you're wondering why because you're embedding yourself and too much negativity.
That's all that's on
the news. Yeah, that's all that's on the news. Nothing but negativity. So, like what Rosa Cabina Ray was saying, he's tired of seeing all of this stuff on Facebook by negativity. Like he said, let's start posting some positive stuff. I don't care if it's a cartoon picture of a mother and holding a baby or something. You know what I'm saying? Holding, cutting the baby in her arms.
Right.
Let's start changing this stuff. These are the images that we need to start seeing because the media itself is not there to put out anything positive.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to be that media campaign or that media outlet that start doing these type of things.
Yes.
There's a lot of great people that are doing stuff in the community, but how many times do we ever hear about it?
We rarely
hear about it. So that's why we have the shows that we can have, like the Coach of Peter Medical, so we can actually get on here and do it ourselves. We can't wait on the alphabet team to get on there. Y'all know the alphabet team, A, B, C, N, D, D, 1, 2, 3, and all that good stuff to be able to do it because that's not their agenda.
That's right.
Their agenda is to keep on to bring us down, to beat those energy vampires to take us out of out of our right mind. But like I said, I appreciate Mama Pearl for having the courage as a woman now. And this thing that we want to call James Brown said there's a man world. A man's world. So y'all remember what he said. It wouldn't be nothing.
Nothing.
A woman of it wouldn't be nothing. Y'all hear that? Y'all men can stick your damn chest out all you want to. He said it wouldn't be nothing. Y'all hear the big part. Nothing. I mean nothing. Nada. Without that woman. The female right there.
It won't even be you. You won't be here. You know, the thing so phenomenal, you know, Brother Son, is that once everyone, once people, not everyone's going to realize it because, like I said, we were, and if you read the Holy Bible, everybody can say what they want to say. Stories change, but the principle remains the same. And you go from one spiritual book or knowledge book, it all, you know, has, same situation as in the Bible, just written a little differently. The story is different, but the principles remain the same. You know, there were, you know, some were created and some were formed. You know, I mean, I'm sure those two words mean totally different things. Some were created and some were formed. The ones who were created was created without the breath of life, without the spirit. They have not that. These are the ones who run around here. And it's true, and we have to realize it. A lot of them, they got all this knowledge. They're factual. There's no compassion in their heart because it's all about knowledge, facts, facts, knowledge, facts, facts. They are not going to ascend. They can't ascend. They have too much weight. You know, they don't want to. I mean, the spirit is free for everyone. Everyone has a chance to have the Most High come into their heart. But because it's so filled with so much fact and knowledge and there's no compassion there, because, you know, you realize, you notice these people who have this knowledge and all this fact, all they do is want to come and attack someone because now they've got knowledge and facts which they read from somebody else. You know what I'm saying? You've got someone else's interpretation of the so-called knowledge and facts. So now you got it all when you had it all within you all the time. But because it's not written or said specifically the way this scholar said, because now you are a scholar, it's not a factual thing. You know, and because someone didn't have to, you know, sprinkle water on them and just bathe in crystal and, you know, swallow all this gold dust and all this stuff to be connected and be in tune with the universal forces, that a biblical cord that connects you with the Most High, because you are already connected. You know, they can't seem to understand that. But again, there's some who are created and there's some who are formed. And I know I am of the one who was formed, because this body is just too perfect, you know, to have not been formed, because I'm sitting here now working on my clay piece. So I do a lot with clay sculpture, and it takes some time because I want it perfect. You know, what I consider to be good enough for me. And that's what our Father said, our Creator said when he created it. Man, this is good, that's good, this is good. So I'm looking at my clay piece now, and it's almost good, you know, but I created that. And when I create something and I like it, I'm going to put it in a place where it's going to be protected, as we were, so-called, the story goes, put in a place. It could have been a mental state. It didn't have to be a physical place. But we know that on this plane, we deal with duality. So it could have been a physical as well as a mental place, you know. So we are put in a place to be observed, because when I finish with my sculpture, I put them in a safe place because I want to look at it. I want to observe it. I want to admire it, so I can understand how the Creator felt about us or feels about us. Something that you create, I mean, you like it. It's good. You want it to stay. You don't want anyone to destroy it, you know. But because now our Creator was so proficient and so just outstanding in his mental capacity and mind, he put a part of himself. He blew the breath of life. He, she, the Holy Spirit, the Most High, the Creator of all Creator, put this spirit in us. That we are now connected. We are as one. We are in accord with the Creator. That's what it meant, what the Messiah meant in the Bible. I don't know if that was a misprint or whatever. He says, me and the Father are one. What it really meant is that we are in one accord. You know, and if you want to look at it, we are one, because if you're looking at the spiritual aspect of it, you know, the spirit is the spirit of the Most High, the Creator. So I guess you could say we are one. And then, again, if you're looking at the macro and the micro now, he was the Creator of this flesh, this organic portal. All things belong to the all. So, again, we are one. We are one and the same. You know, we are the creations of a Creator, you know. And like I said, the whole universe is a mental, is mental. The whole universe, everything is mental, you know. And we can see that again when we take it back to the Holy Bible. In the beginning, you know, in the beginning there was nothing, and God created light, and he created earth and all of this stuff. But he did that mentally. He said, let there be. Because, you know, again, like I said, when you controlling your mind, that's that faith of a mustard seed. And I've seen it work because, you know, I've done it. But even me, being of this human, organic, you know, portal body, I forget that sometimes, you know. But, you know, when you're truly concentrating and you're thinking about the Most High and the fact that you are, you know, on one accord with the Father, you can create these things too, because we are gods. We are creators, because it's mental. Whatever we think with our minds and we manifest it, you know, out of our mouth, we can make it so. And that's exactly what our Creator done in the beginning. He spoke the word came true because he knew that they were going to be true. And that's what faith is, faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not yet seen. The substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not yet seen. That is faith. The substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not yet seen. And I have done this repeatedly all the days of my life. You know, so there's no way that I could be standing and walking through all of this mess just as you all. You know, having my three babies, not being taught, because you know babies don't come with a book. You know, again, this is with discernment. You know, I watch my awesome mom, how she did the things. You know, so me knowing myself that being me, I have to adopt the things that she's done to me. I have to make it fit me. So I follow in suit, listening constantly, you know, aligning myself with the Spirit of the Most High. You know, being obedient, and I watched my great mother, how she did things constantly in prayer. I knew when I was outside climbing on them trees, jumping from limb to limb and walking on the hog's back that she was praying for me. I was indestructible. I was, you know, and to this day, I am indestructible, you know, and I am trying to be so nice and so calm right now because, you know, I just have to be, you know, because it's just so much boiling up in me, like I said, with the media and all the negativity that's been happening, you know, and then I got these Sadducees, you know, Pharisees and Sadducees who are attacking my character, you know, but again, you got to go within myself, you know, and bring out that spiritual thing, you know, that God in me. And this is what I was trying to say earlier, brother, son. Once we recognize if there's a God in me and there's a God in you, and when we come together, I know when I see you, I'm looking at God. And what do? When you meet God, you humble yourself to God. So if I'm humbling myself to you and you humbling yourself to me, it's a beautiful thing. Because we know I'm looking at you, I'm looking at God. So, I mean, we have truly have to change our mind. And now we got to get in there. We got to fight. We got to attack this mind like it's a wild animal. You got to get in there and fight to control your mind. You can't have it, like I said, because your mind is not on your body. We are third-dimensional people. We control, and I spoke about this, I don't know, maybe on the earlier show. You know, we are third-dimensional people because we're here, we're upright. This is our world, so we think. There's nothing higher than us because we control the second-dimensional life form. That's the animals, you know, and the fish and the bugs and the birds and the bees, you know, all these second-dimensional. We can manipulate their world. We control them. We're the junk, and we control the first-dimensional world. Okay, that's your rocks, your trees, and your dirt, and your leaves, and your flowers. You know, we control our, because we are the junk. You know, we're the masters on this world. But we don't realize, and then we say we do, that there are fourth, fifth, sixth dimensions and all that. The fourth dimension, that's what I'm saying, all these people with knowledge. Once you're trying to, and this is the problem. This is the problem with people with knowledge. They're talking about you have to expand your mind. You know, it's time to expand your mind. That's just the same thing as saying, let's go and eat and be gluttony and get fat. Let's just eat, because we have to expand our stomach. We have to expand our body. You're getting fat. That's linear. When you expanding, you're going linear. You're going one way all the way to the right and all the way to the left, but you're still grounded. You hadn't elevated. You hadn't lifted not one bit. You can't. You're too darn fat. You got all this knowledge. You're expanding. But it's time to elevate, my brothers and my sisters. We have to get past this third dimension. We want to go past the fourth dimension. Now, the fourth dimension is where your spirit, you either live or you die. That is the place of determination. You know, you're either going to live or you die. Now, we have beings who occupy this fourth dimension, and they love it there. They can never ascend to the fifth dimension. They couldn't do it because of no compassion in their heart, and they're too greedy. You know, and first of all, they like taking from other people. See, the fourth dimension, those are the ones who are the energy vampires, and they drain the energy from us. Everybody feeds off of something. We feed off of the plants and the animals here. The plants and the animals feed off the first dimension. So you know what I'm saying? So in order to give, you have to take. So now there's the fourth dimension who is feeding off of us, off of our mental, okay, and off of our essence. They're constantly feeding off of us. They will never, ever, ever ascend to the fifth dimension because they have too much knowledge and they love what they're doing. You know, there's no compassion. They love to take. They make confusion. And then again, our great brother, the Honorable Dr. Malachi of New York, he made it even more simple when he talked about that 360, 180, 180, and the 320, you know. But, you know, the 180, 180, he explains how, you know, there's, you know, the beings, and there's only two energy forces, you know, STS and STO, that service to self and service to others, service to self and service to others. There's really truly no such thing as negative and no such thing as positive. It all depends on who's looking at it. Now, for me, being on the third dimension, so on the fourth dimension, eating off of me, that is negative. But hear me, in the third dimension, when I say I go pull off a plant, or are we going to go and eat a piece of steak or chicken, we think that's positive. But I'm sure that chicken and those plants think it's negative. You know what I'm saying? So it all depends on the interpreter and how you're looking at it. Okay, so, I mean, pain is pain, as hell is hell. You can't get around it. But our great brother talked to us about, you know, the 180 and 180 and how there are these two angelic beings. One is benevolent. All they can do is be benevolent. And one is malevolent, mad, anger, hatred, that smokeless fire. That's all they can do. Deceptive, lying, take, eat, kill. That's that 180. And they all have just that 180 of power, of will, of knowledge, of spirituality. Now, you take someone like us, because we are formed, we have both. We have the 180 of the benevolent and the 180 of the malevolent. Put together, which is the 360. Now, how you get, what is that, the 370? That's another thing. But that 360, now, because we have the 360 now it comes to, again, mathematics, give and take. Now, you can take from the positive, maybe two positions from the positive and add it to the negative, okay? So that's what I'm saying. You have to learn how to adjust, because sometimes you have to put that kick in there to get back, to fight, to stay on top. You can't be benevolent all your time, because that's not going to get you nowhere, not on this plane. You're not going to go far. You may not live long. Just being passive and, you know, benevolent and yes and agreeable to everything. That's not going to get you anywhere. It's not going to get you anywhere being negative, you know, all the time. And malevolent, that's not going to get you nowhere but dead real quick. You know, either way is going to get you. That's why now you have to build up our psychic self-defense and learn how to adjust, to add and subtract, you know, to take some of that negative, put it with the positive, you know, so that we can kick ass in this realm. You know, because we have to know how to do that. You know, and again, because we've got both, we can adjust the energy forces. There's no one higher than us. You know, and I had to learn that too at an early age. You know, I talked to my brother, Susanna Black, Conscious Attack of Wiggle the weekend. We were talking about some things. You know, and there was a time, especially when I was younger, you know, young baby, like 1, 2, and 3, crying my eyes out, saw all kinds of stuff that I didn't understand, going in and out of different dimensions, didn't understand it. But because, you know, I'm the 10th child and all the other our mother sisters and brothers, they had a resentment, I guess, my mom for having another baby. I didn't get that attention. I truly didn't. No one come running to my rescue. You know, I mean, I cried myself to sleep, woke up crying again. No one still didn't come. So I had to learn how to discern these things in myself. You know, and I heard my mother talking about this name, Jesus. So I, you know, realized that the spirit that was always with me and keeping me calm must be Jesus. And it stuck with me ever since, you know. But we have to, you know, truly use our mind power, and we have to be obedient to that mind power. And anything that we do in righteousness is going to work, and it's going to move for us. And we have to believe that with faith, the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Let's say you, brother.
Wow, power. Yeah. Ooh. Yeah, I don't even know where to start with it. Ooh, yeah. But,
you know,
I like this one point you were saying about how we got all this information now, and we're coming up on the shoulders of our elders who did a lot of footwork, groundwork, and now we're trying to tear down a lot of the things that they have done for us and laid out, you know, all the hard work, you know, all the research and whatever they've done. I've seen a lot of that that's happening, and you know, just because you got a little knowledge don't mean you got to tear down your elders in it. You know, you got to, like, enhance what they've done. Just for instance, like, I hear people talk about Malcolm. You know, they're tired of hearing about Malcolm. They don't want to hear about Malcolm and all of this. Well, it was, if it wasn't for the words, a lot of the teachings of Brother Malcolm, when we were coming up, like I said, when hip-hop, me, myself, in hip-hop in the 80s, it was a lot of teachings, those teachings like that, which actually sparked a lot of us to even get the knowledge. You know, that's how we came up with the Public Enemies and the X-Clans and all of this from brothers who were like that, who were speaking on black nationalism and stuff. So to hear somebody say, well, we don't need them, you know, we're tired of the Malcolms and we're tired of the Khalid Abdul Muhammad, those brothers who were on the black nationalist level, that is, I don't know what the hell really to say about you. I could say something, but I'm going to keep it PG-13 for the radio. Because that's what's happening now. See, we don't have anybody who's on this talking about nationalism, and we don't have anything that's speaking up for us. That's why we're seeing a lot of things that are happening to us as a so-called people, because see, we're trying to fit into this society who don't want us in this society. They want us to be able to go to work and do the things that they want us to do, just like back in slavery. Just go out in them cotton fields and pick the cotton niggas and pick, get the potatoes and go get the tobacco, and that's it. Mm-hmm. But don't think you're going to fit into the fabric of America and call yourself a great American. Nope, we don't. You're not going to have that. So when we think about this, no, yeah. So that's why Brother Malcolm then was talking about nationalism. Not just on a local scale. Sister, if I can, I got this book. I got this book that I had, and my mother actually gave it to me. And it was real old. It got to be real old because it was only $1.95. It was called Malcolm X, The Man in His Time, edited by Dr. John Henry Clark. Mm-hmm. And I want to read some part of it. It says, Malcolm split from the Muslims at the end of 1963 and was killed in February of 1965. His chief energy during his all but short years of independent activities were devoted to declassifying the fundamental link between the Black Revolution in the United States and the Black Revolution all over the world, in Africa, Asia, Latin America. Among black revolutionaries today, there is no doubt whatsoever that the CIA engineered his murder because they recognized the grave threat that the American master nationship was to link up involved. It said Malcolm was the first to be killed for this purpose. As long as Dr. Martin Luther King steered clear of international international issues, he was safe from the CIA. when he began to lead a challenge to the foreign policies of the United States and Asia, even his philosophies of nonviolence could be couldn't protect him from the violent death. See how that works? Mm-hmm. Everybody talking about Brother Malcolm. See, Brother Malcolm was looking at this black nationalism stuff or the black revolutionary. He was taking this all throughout the whole world. See, like
that's
you said, he reached out to Africa, Asians, and Latin America, and then he became a threat because he was taking on the international level.
Right.
Because all of, like, we're looking at all our family. I've seen some posted on Facebook. But everywhere we look, as you, as a so-called black people, now you get the word black, we are all going through something. We all have a common enemy all
that's
over
right.
the world, whether you're in Africa, like you said, Asia, Timbuktu, you in the damn, the boonies, you in the Amazon River somewhere.
That's right.
You
that's
got
right.
an enemy who can't stand us. They are killing us all over this world.
Over
Brother
the world.
Malcolm was doing it on an international level to link us. And they said that the CIA was going to get back here. And so the CIA seen this, and they said that it was recognized as an American master nation, which if he had a linked up, man, like they said, if we link up, see, that's what they're fearing for us right now. If they can get one neighborhood of us, if we can link up at this one little street, a neighborhood,
you
that's
know?
A threat. That's a threat to them. So this is why they have to come in with the drugs, the prostitution, the, all the stuff that they have to have because they don't want us to link up. And then they also even, and we talk about Brother Martin Luther King.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Brother Martin Luther King, they said that he was not a threat long as he stayed clear of international issues. But they seen when he started reaching out all over the world, reaching out to Asia and started getting into foreign policy. Now his nonviolent philosophy became it couldn't even save him. So that's why I asked that question one time. I'm like, why would a man, I can understand Brother Malcolm getting assassinated because he was talking about the white blonde-haired, blue-eyed devil and all of this stuff banged on the white man like Brother Steady said. But Martin Luther King was like, we all got to get along like Rodney King. You know what I'm saying? I just want white folks playing on the playground with the black folks and stuff. Why would you kill a man like that? But now I really understand when I read the book like this. This one called y'all one more time. It was called Malcolm X, Man in His Time. It was edited by John Henry Clark. Y'all didn't even know a lot of these brothers actually got along with each other. See, that's how the white man even played us too. He played us like Malcolm didn't get along with Dr. King, but y'all search the internet, y'all see Martin Luther King and Malcolm sitting together. Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Martin Luther King sitting together. There's also photos with Noble Gerard Lee and our great brother, the forerunner of all this revolutionary stuff in America, the Marcus Mazzan Garvey. They have pictures with those brothers walking hand in hand, shoulder to shoulder. See, they don't want us to know this type of stuff. And we know that our brothers were working together. They might have had different nationhood,
ideology,
and religious philosophy. Because, brother,
that's right.
Where we go, y'all. Mm-hmm. A lot of this, Mama Pearl, you touched on this. I'm going to give a shout out, Mama Pearl. You touched on this about the religion. A lot of those brothers had a religious background. Some of them were Christian. Some of them were Hebrew Israelites. Some of them were whatever. Now, we just speak about Marcus Mazzan Garvey. Now, I heard they say he was a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Now, everybody talk about Marcus Garvey and how he was a Christian. I mean, about his powerful, raising us up, liberation. But nobody want to discredit him because he was a Christian. They don't do that. Now when we got people, and look at all our whole thing coming up in this whole civil rights era or civil rights or whatever, our freedom. Nobody never not followed Martin Luther King and none of those people like that, Malcolm, because of their religious beliefs. No, they didn't do that. They were so busy engulfed into the message, they didn't give a damn about what religion they had.
That's right.
They didn't give a damn about it. Now, we in this day and time, as younger generation, we want to look at what a man, what kind of religious preferences did he, ideology, theology that he subscribed to. I can't admit, he said some powerful stuff, but that nigga Muslim. That nigga, he's a Christian. He's a Hebrew Israelite. I can't mess with them. I can't stand them. But he's talking something that's gonna get you free. He has a floor plan. If you go by, gonna free you. But right there on the end of that floor plan, you gotta step over this one little hurdle, and that hurdle is his religion. You can't get your feet high enough to step over their religion. That's freedom at the end of it. Like, you know what? Damn their religion. I see the door to freedom. I'm gone. Damn your religion. We can't do that. That's why we see all of these debates out there in New York and shit over religion. But at the same time, we got come and go. Now, I'm going to ask y'all, let me say this right fast. When these so-called police just killing our brothers and our sisters and brothers out there, when they pull up on them, do they ever ask them, y'all think they ever ask them, wait a minute, what religion are you? You a Christian? Are you a Moor? Are you a Moor? I damn sure can't kill you because you a sovereign. I can't kill you. You go ahead. Do they ever ask them that? Oh, you got a nationality card. Oh, whoa, I better not kill you because, shit, I'm going to be in trouble for this. They don't ask that. They blow your goddamn brains out.
Shit.
And then you worry about where you're going to be buried at later because they don't care. That's why
all right now
the United States really don't care because they're going into sovereign nations, y'all, taking over. So ain't none of that in Africa. Then I said I was going to shut up on her, but I got some more information.
No, go ahead. Go on.
This one thing my brother's pissing me off with, too. So we talk about black-on-black crime. I understand that. That is a major problem. But like I said, we got to understand the psyche what's making us do what we do also, y'all. But here's the thing. Black on black crime. We got the man who has the highest office in the land.
Mm.
Barack Obama. Now, who's complaining about the black on black crime that this brother is orchestrating when he's going over into Africa killing men, women, and children? I'm gonna leave out the men. But he's killing women and children with those drones.
Yes.
Who's talking about the black on black crime that this brother, y'all so called first black president, y'all want to say? Now, that ain't that black on black crime? Ain't nobody saying that. But we're going to talk about the little brother who's in the neighborhood who's been misled, who's been misguided. And
we're
going to talk about him. But you ain't saying nothing about this dude who's killing thousands of wrong people in the all over the damn world. We got to get our priorities. We got to get our mind right. So when you come to me talking about that, we got to stop black-on-black crime first before we stop that white police killing each other. That white police is killing you because of goddamn racism, white supremacy. He's holding this up. Goddamn it, he's holding the standard bearer of what the United States was built on.
That's right.
So when y'all get to talking about what's happening in America, I'm going to ask you, like Mama Pearl said, if I ever said that there should be a new heaven and a new earth, let me ask y'all something. Since the Bible even stated that, have it been a new heaven and a new earth yet? Have it been the old heaven and the new world? Have we seen the new Jerusalem and all that came yet? We still live in the same goddamn world that been thousands of some thousand years ago. So what I'm saying is, if America, if the Europeans came over and colonized and took from the natives and set this system up, it's still the same damn America. Y'all might think it's different because y'all can ride around like y'all sitting all the time and y'all in fan cars. Y'all think everything is cool. Y'all just don't know. That's a plot and a plot to make you feel good, to make you think you made it. Back in slavery, we had a few Negroes who was living high on the hog. But that didn't still mean that the rest of y'all niggas went in the field chopping cotton and then been tied up in chains around y'all neck. See, just because we see a few people like this and Jack and them run around here on these shop suits and Farrakhan with these $5,000 gators on don't mean that the rest of us ain't in slavery. Some niggas has always been the same thing. We always had this in slavery. Like I was supposed to say it on Savannah Black Show. We got the ones that was on the top of the boat. God kept the slave master. God
That's
just
right.
to bring us who was in the belly of the beast or the belly of the boat over here to America, because the Caucasian, the damn crackers, didn't even know how to get here. If it wasn't
That's
some
right.
of these sellout niggas who showed them how to get to America. So we
That's
always
right.
gonna see a few niggas out in the front. Not saying niggas, because I'm pissed off and I'm sick of them. We always gonna have a few token blacks. That's what I was told by the elders. We always gonna have a few token Negroes. So don't let these token Negroes fool y'all and think just because you see that they made it, we can make it. Them niggas been set in a position for illusion and magic. I mean, America is a cultic, the most occultic country in the damn world. Y'all get a book called Occultism America. You will see how it was built on all this occultism stuff. That's why you got Hollywood. They perform magic on you. They wave the wand. It's like Hollywood.
Come
y'all
on.
Said Hollywood. They wave the wand. When you're waving the wand, you're in this grand delusion. Black folks is free. If black folks is free, why they doing you the same way? If black folks, if we was under this so-called Constitution and laws of America, why when the standards come, you don't, everybody else can get equal justice except you? Well, they show you right there. It's still America, y'all. It's still the same one that Columbus them came over here, and them so-called the Virginia Company, all them folks that set up all these laws and regulations, it's still the same one.
I'm glad you brought up Columbus. Have you ever met Columbus?
No, I sure haven't.
I mean, have you really traveled and touched and seen him, or is that just something someone told you? And so we accept that to be true, right? So now we talk about you're told we ain't never met him. We don't know where he's been. That could have been a lie. You know, we don't know. I don't trust nothing these white folks are saying. That's history BS. It all could have been a lie, you know. But just like I'm saying now, we go back to this Bible, you know, because, you know, the white man had used, I think it was Ephesians, you know, to trick us, use our words to trick us, talking about you slaves and be humble to your master, whatever, all that crap. But they certainly wasn't talking about man. That was talking about the Holy Spirit. But they use that against us. So now we got our young people today. They're saying, you know, because they feel that because our parents back then, the white man gave us the book and they taught us a lie. They didn't think that our ancestors and our elders, our parents back in the day, were smart enough and clever enough to know this white beast was lying to them. You know, there's one thing. You may be able to control my body, but you can't control my mind. You know, we knew, our ancestors then knew over Stan because they were in one accord with the spirit. There had to be to go through that transatlantic slave trade. You know, they couldn't depend on each other to help them, so they had to depend on that divine spirit. And then this is what people say, you know, where is God? Ask God. And, oh, my goodness, they don't realize, like I said, your words will not come back void. You so big and high and mighty, you think that you just came out of a shell or something, an egg. You can put some words up there in the universe to the creator of all creator. Have no shame, no fear, nothing, right, because they think that they are just a junk. Oh, my goodness. I mean, it's just crazy. But again, like I said, this book, which is all books are based off of, not just the book, but the words in the book, which is our words that our ancestors wrote for us that were taken and then reinterpreted to trick us. Just like I was saying, your mind is not on your body. And if you cannot control your mind and have your psychic self-defense, you've got beings who are on a higher vibration and a higher level, not an expanded level, but a higher level, who are manipulating the messages that the Most High, the universal forces, is sending to you. They're able to manipulate. They capture your information. They capture the messages that are being sent to you. They will manipulate it and put it back and put it in, you know, put it back out there, and you think that these are your thoughts and they are for you. But because you don't know yourself and you don't know how to discern, you just accept that to be true without even thinking it because you say, oh, wow, something's in my head. It's in my head, so I'm listening. But you realize that you got a lot of things in your head, you know. But I want to say this, brother son. This is what this whole thing is about. The scripture says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And like you said, this whole system, the beast system, is built on an occult. Spiritual wickedness in high places. principalities on this world is government. Government is a principality. Government rules this world. So it's going to take a government to go up against a government. Wickedness in high places. What's higher than the mind? Thought wickedness. You know, what's higher than the mind? Against the rulers of darkness of this world. The mind is so dark, you have no idea what they're thinking about and how they can comprehend it because it's so dark. You fill it with light. You can't even think that corrupted, that diseased, but they are. And that's the high places which are in their mind, and also because they're the rulers of this world. Now, here we go back to talking about, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, and we don't. It is not about the flesh and blood because this is a spiritual warfare. Unless we realize that we're a spiritual being and we realize what faith is all about, the substance of things hoped for and evidence of things not yet seen, you know, our beast took that and they used it for their wickedness and their witchcraft. They know that when they put a spell out on you, it's done. They don't think about it anymore. They leave it alone. Because they know it's done. And that's truly how things work. That's how faith works. See, we so busy thinking about, you know, maybe God ain't this and there ain't no God and, you know, there ain't no Jesus and there ain't no spiritual thing, but we don't think about that adversary, that evilness, that Satan. We don't even think about how to deal with the devil. And that's one of the biggest tricks, and that's how this evilness continue to exist is because we continue to deny its existence. That's the only way it continued to exist, to continue to deny its existence. Oh, man, she's crazy. She don't know what she's talking about. Okay? So evil continues to live, and it grows stronger and stronger and stronger. We deny that there is a creator, a protector, a loving creator, you know, but we don't even want to talk about that is a evil, demonic, satanic system being. Satan is real. We don't want to talk about that. We don't even teach it. We go to church and we teach about God and we teach about Jesus and all this good stuff, but we don't ever teach about our enemy that we're trying to attack our heart. He comes through the mind trying to get to the heart, but if you don't know that you've got this spirit in your heart, he's going to attack it, and it's going to destroy it. It's going to suffocate it. It's going to dim your light. But we don't teach our children about it. We don't even teach adults about it. Everybody walking around talking about, I'm saved. I'm saved. And, you know, that was something that always struck me funny. I'm like, well, Jesus, you know, I mean, I know. I walk with Jesus. He's my friend. I mean, constantly, all the time, the Spirit of the Most High. He's with me. But I ain't saved, because if I was saved, I wouldn't have these people right now trying to destroy me, my character. I wouldn't have, you know, men trying to hurt me or rape me or hurt my children. How can I be saved? You know, I mean, I am saved in the fact that knowing that I am connected with the Spirit, but I'm not saved yet. How can you say you're saved when you're tempted every day? You say out your mouth that you're saved, but your heart is so far removed, you know. So, I mean, it's like, man, we have just got to go and just stop, because we are the ones who are causing all of this confusion everywhere. It's just confusion because we won't stop to think. We just won't do it. And then Jesus, and I will say that, Jesus, not the man, but the Holy Spirit, says that whenever there is confusion, I'm out of there. It ain't about me. Who is the author of confusion? Whenever confusion comes in, you better believe that it is Satan and his children, because Jesus already told you he's not about confusion. You know, and that's why I had to learn to look at things, Brother Sam. I had a wonderful conversation with my brother, Savannah Black. We talked about that picture of that sick, faggot-looking, pale, disease-looking white man that they want to, you know, they say is Jesus, you know. But then he said he used that picture, and so did I, because I had to discern. Now, I'm looking at my skin, and I'm feeling this spirit all up in me, and I'm feeling love, and I'm glowing, and I'm looking at this picture, And then I go outside and I know that the people with the same color as this picture hate me. They're doing cruel things. You hate me and I'm a child. I seen the strange fruits hanging. You know, I seen my daddy out there in that daggone heat, digging in that dirt, pulling up rocks with the mule and my brothers behind him, trying to plant some food. And when the food come up, we don't get any of it because it goes back to the white man because, you know, we're sharecroppers. You know what I'm saying? So now that's confusion. So I have to say, well, Jesus, now, Jesus said, and, you know, I'm hearing my mom because I'm still little now, and I, you know, I'm loving my mom. That's my first teacher, you know. And she said, well, Jesus says, you know, that he is not the author of confusion. So these are things I've meditated on, you know, all of my life. So I'm like, well, gee whiz. Now, if I'm confused because my skin color don't look like that color, and you trying to tell me that that is my Lord and Master, I'm confused. And I will step at that picture, brother, son, and cry. And I'm praying, asking God to give me the answer. But the spirit is in me all the time. So I will walk outside, even as a little kid, and get white kids talk about, ooh, your nappy head, and you're like, ooh, look at a big lips. I said, well, I look like Jesus. You know? So, I mean, I had to keep myself. I mean, there's so many things trying to steal your spirit and make you feel so inferior. But, you know, because the spirit was in me, it wouldn't allow that to happen. You know, and because I listened to my first mother, my first teacher, who constantly inspired me to know me, you know, and to, you know, and I mean, the first time, I mean, because, you know, here, I was thinking that, okay, because I want to be obedient, you know, I'm not supposed to fight, you know, all these things. It took a while for me to fight back as a child, you know, and this, again, this is all young. You know, I would go outside and come back crying to my mother, and she would say, I was about 4 or 5 years old, and she said, listen, you come back in this house crying one more time. She goes, you let no one, hurt you. Or put their hands on you, because if they're big enough to hit, they're big enough to get hit like that. I said, okay, Ma, okay. You know? And that was it. Don't throw the first punch, you know, and I thought, don't be hitting nobody, and I never did. I've always been defensive, you know, and I would sit. I was always quiet and shy. But you put your hand on me wrong, boy, that tiger, that panther, that cougar, whatever you want to call it, come out, and I will tear your ass up. And then sit right back down and act all shy. Because, you know, I mean, you put your hands on me. I'm not bothering you. You know, so that's what I'm saying. We're supposed to defend ourselves. And then if we are to hold the story or the principle to be true, that my big brother, the Messiah Jesus, the one that they call Christ, went through all of this, felt all of this turmoil for all of his people, and then he knew, he discerned it was a time that they were going to kill him, just like Malcolm X did, just like Martin Luther King did, just like, you know, brother, all of them knew when the beast was coming for him, you know, but they also knew that the body belongs here anyway. That body was dirt. That's why I'm saying people get angry with God. Why doesn't God do anything? There ain't no God. F for God. F for Jesus. Well, I mean, if you were created, your organic portal was created from the dirt, and it is written in here that you're nothing but a piece of filthy rag to the purest of all purest and all cleanness and all holiness. So why would he be concerned about the physical body when all souls belong to him? He's only concerned, or she, the spirit, is only concerned about your soul because it goes back to him. So it all depends on where your heart is. And this was talked about in Revelation, and I'm going to, you know, read a lot of stuff too. It's, you know, Jesus says, whenever I come, when you see me coming, it's too late to change now. Whatever you're doing, you keep doing what you're doing because that's it. Be as you are because that's it. Whatever's in your heart is in your heart. The minute you leave and your heart is crooked, the minute you leave and you haven't forgiven someone, you've been tricking and, you know, been conniving, you don't lie to somebody, you don't hurt somebody's heart, The minute you leave, where are you going? Back to the Most High. That's why these so-called judges and people now, they don't have a problem with clicking the switch. You know, especially if you're a beast, they send this thing behind right back to God real quick. Where do you think you're going? You know, and it's what I'm saying to you, oh, the poor child didn't do anything. Well, you know, I mean, again, if we were listening to ourselves and knowing ourselves, the same thing, again, I could say the story changes, but the principle remains the same. Just like when the Messiah Jesus was a baby, you know, Mary, his Jesus' mother and father, Mary and Joseph, discerned some things in themselves. Spiritual being came to them and said, okay, look, it's time to move. Time to get them, go from here, go there. It may not be the best place in the world, but it's time to leave this place. But see, we don't listen to ourselves. You know, we don't listen to that spiritual guide that's in us. Okay, so there is a spirit that guides us. So because we want to hear it and we don't believe that there's a God, there's no Holy Spirit, there's no spiritual being, but yet you say that you are ancestors and you call them your ancestors, which is what a spirit. I don't get that. I mean, it just don't make any sense to me. You call them your ancestors who are spirits now, but you don't believe that there is a Holy Spirit, that all spirits connected in one pool. I don't understand. You know, Brother Son, let me just take it someplace else for right now, because you mentioned some things about the Kabbalion. I just want to read a few things about, you know, the Kabbalion. You know, it says that all is infinite living mind illuminated. Call it spirit, the real essence. And I just wrote down a few principles for transformation, to transmute, to change from one nature, from one structure into another. Transmutation. That's why you can't, there's no such thing as destroying anything. You can't destroy whatever the Creator has created. You can't destroy it. You can change it. You can transmute it. You know, change from one nature, from one substance into another. It's the same thing that happens to man. You know, and I read that the other week when I was reading from my brother, Dr. Malachi of New York, when he's talking about this lunatic. Any man who disrespects a woman has now become a lunatic. It's lunatical. Mm-hmm. How is it that you're going to come from the womb, between the legs, from that same tree now that you're disrespecting? Now, if you don't see that there's a problem with that, again, that's that psychic self-defense. You don't realize yourself. You don't realize that there's something controlling you that you're thinking all out of realm. And then again, we have to realize that there are different people. There are the ones who were created, that's mankind, a kind of a man. And then there was man and woman. Okay, remember when he created them, he created male and female. That was the ones who were created. The ones who were formed was man and woman. Totally different. So we've got all kinds of things here with us all the time. But then we got the principle of mentalism. Okay, the all is mind. The universe is mental. Okay. And the principle of correspondence, as above, so as below, as below, so as above. The principle of vibration, nothing rests. Everything moves. Everything vibrates. The principle of polarity, everything is dual. Everything has poles. Everything has a pair of opposites. Likes and unlikes are the same. Opposites are identical in nature, but difference in degrees. Extreme meets. All truth are but half truth. All paradoxes may not be reconciled. The principle of rhythm. Everything flows out and in. Everything has its tides. All things rise and fall. The pendulum swings. Manifest in everything. The measure of the swing to the right is a measure of the swing to the left. Rhythm compensates, and it's a principle of cause and effect. Every cause has its effect. Every effect has its cause. Everything happens according to law. Chance is but a name for a law not recognized. There are many planes of causation, but nothing escapes the law. The principle of gender, gender is in everything, has its masculine and feminine principles. Gender manifests on all planes. And those are the seven principles of the Kybalion. And again, those are like seven levels of different awareness and consciousness, and goes higher and higher and higher. And I was just speaking about the third, fourth, and the fifth plane, you know, mental plane, you know, where life begins. The fourth plane is where life begins or ends. Because once you can ascend to the fifth plane now, you have broken that and you're beginning to live on. Now you can travel more, but then you have your spiritual guides, you've got the malevolent ones and your benevolent ones. And hopefully you've got your mind contained. You got a hold, just like you see a lot of these fantasy shows with the monsters, and you see people riding on dragons, and they holding on to them real tight. That dragon is your mind. You got to hold on to it. You got to stir it. You got to guide it. You cannot let your mind go. You can't. You know, that's why they brought in all these hallucinogenic drugs, so they can disturb your mind. And your mind is precious because it's not on your body. And while you're not minding your mind, something or someone else is. Mind your mind for the jewels of your soul.
Yes, yes.
And that's from my brother, Dr. Malachi Z. York. And once I heard that, brother, son, that hit me in my heart like, boom, mind, like I'm going mining, mind my mind for the jewels of my soul. And that's what we all had better start doing. If you want to be selfish, you can't be selfish because you got a better car, you got more clothes, you got all these daggone sneakers that ain't got a motor in it. You know, you think you were better than someone else. If you want to be selfish, you better be selfish about mining your mind for the jewels of your soul. Be selfish about that. And if everybody start being selfish about that, you will look at one another as if they are God. Why can't you? And then, again, our ancestors wrote in this book, I don't know if they wrote it in this book, but they left it for us. How they got our information, we all know this very story. But the only one rule is called the Golden Rule, which encompasses everything that is written. And there's only one Golden Rule. Only one. Do unto others as you wish for others to do unto you. If we all adopted that, you know, and then, of course, coming up in my day, most parents taught their children that in the Black community. So we had a camaraderie. We always had a rapport. That's why I find it very difficult right now, and I'm constantly being taken back. Because whenever I walk amongst my brothers and my sisters, I think I'm at home because you're my people. You know, because we did that. All the parents, and I want to get back to that too, the first teachers. You know, all of the mothers had a societal norm that we raised our children up to be. You know, whatever your style or your technique for building on those societal norms, that's your individual preference, but we had a societal norm. You know, it doesn't make no sense right now, and I'm going back and I'm certainly, you know, readdressing my grandchildren to teach my children to, you know, to be loving, to don't cheat, don't hurt nobody, don't steal, you know, don't be jealous, you know, don't be deceitful, don't lie on anyone, you know, do all, you know, these are the things that we were taught, and I taught my children and my grandchildren too. But now you don't have people teaching their children at all, because it's also written in this book that you don't have to teach your child to be bad. You're born, that's in you. You know, I mean, because you have that, because we come from that smoke with fire, we are created through that serpentine coil, that serpent coil. You know, so when we got the reptilian, you know, side of, you know, all these things are combined. So you don't have to teach your child to be bad. You have to teach them to be good. Now, if we don't have first teachers teaching their children to be good, I'm teaching my child to be good, there's going to always be a conflict. Your child is going to be like Cain and Abel now. You're going to kill my child. So now we're going to go back and teach our children truly how to defend themselves and how to recognize an enemy. Because your body and the safety of your body is up to you. God is not going to protect your body. And you don't want to hear about the Holy Spirit, the Messiah, Jesus, who said that if I do not leave right now, if I don't go, the Comforter can't come. And the Comforter is the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus, when he was walking, he was just like you and me, walking one foot at a time, being in one place at a time. Now that he is God, and he has all he thought about with his people, as I think about mine, as you think about yours, when he was killed, murdered, you know, not just crucified, but executed, because that's how they executed people back in the day, by hanging them on the cross, the tree, or however you want to say it, whatever they did. He wasn't the only one who was executed, or, you know, not just crucified or executed, but you want to say Jesus was crucified. He was crucified in I guess you could say he wasn't crucified when he was killed. He was crucified, you know, when people started attacking his character and his words. You know, like I am being crucified right now, you know, by certain individuals. And it is just so much, you know, Brother Singh, you had touched on the CIA. And things like that. You know what I'm saying? But this is one of the normal things that they do. When they find or see someone who can hold the attention of the crowd, especially someone who can ignite the youth, okay, that's when they come in and they try to attack you. Because this person who came after me, someone sent her, and she was highly trained. Okay, but yet she walked among us as if she's just one of the norms. But yet we're so smart, we already know how the CIA and COINTELPRO work, and that these people are still here. But we don't pay attention when we see it. We read about it. Again, that's why I say get understanding. Yeah, get the knowledge and get understanding. People got all this knowledge, but they can't see it happening and how it works in real time. Okay. So I recognize who this person is, and someone sent her. And eventually, because she don't believe and they don't think that there is a Most High Spirit, and they don't think that I have, you know, angelic spiritual guides, you know what I'm saying? They think they're getting away with something, but things are about to come to an abrupt halt. And I have faith in that I know, you know. So that's what happening. You know, with a lot of these things, we can't add up, you know, what's factual and what is actually reality. You know, and that's why our brother said, what is right knowledge? And I'm so glad because he put it in a term for me, you know, but this is how you discern things. What is right knowledge? Evidence, reasoning, and what is it, Brother Son? Every time I put it up my mouth, I forget it. You have to have evidence of it. You have to be able to reason it out, and you have to have.
I'm just forgetting myself. That's when the affirmation. Let me get it straight out the book, so I won't mess it up either.
You know what I'm saying? But I knew it, and every time I say it, it's reasoning, evidence, and.
Hey. Yeah, I ain't quoted it so long. What? I ain't quoted it so long. I don't want to mess it up.
But it should be in you.
Evidence.
Right.
experience, evidence, and reason.
Thank you. Thank you. That's what I was forgetting. But the experience you have to have. Then if you got the experience, again, you discerning this, if you got the experience, that's your evidence. But you have to discern it, reason it out. You got to make it fit. You know, and people think, all three of them, they have to fit. Evidence, discernment, and reasoning. And that's how you have discernment. We're all given a measure of discernment, which is right knowledge. And that's how we determine real from the unreal. You know, and you have to have all that. But again, Brother Son, I wanted to say something else, again, because I'm taking it back to the book. And, I was listening to my brother, Conscious Attack, and the sister came on, very, very, very powerful sister, right? I don't have any qualm with that. But she did say something, about my brother, our brother, that I just wanted to correct it. I want to make sure that we are accurate in whatever we're saying, and to make it make sense. She said, man, we're hungry. People were hungry. Yeah, we are hungry. And she said, even Jesus fed the people, before he talked to them. But that is not correct, And again, like I said, that's something that I have been meditating on all of my life. So when she said that, it hit a chord. And it was like, you play your guitar and you hit a chord and it don't sound right. And it's like, and let me just read this to you, and then I'll tell you how I discerned it for myself, and I know it to be true. Okay, and this is taken from Matthew. This is Matthew 15, and I'm reading verse 32. Okay, and it says, then Jesus called the disciple unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. I will not send them away fasting, lest they will faint on the way. Okay. Now, he did not feed the multitude because the multitude was following him for 3 days. They weren't hungry for food. Like I say, when you're depressed and just your soul ain't right, your heart ain't hurting, you're not hungry. That's not the food you wanted. Why would they follow the one who came to feed the soul and the spirit because they wanted some physical food? Jesus, like me, I can't feed the whole world. I can't feed your physical food. I can feed your soul that will allow you to continue to live and feed yourself. I give you food that is everlasting, like that everlasting water. But now, after he fed them, after their soul and their spirits were fed, then he had compassion on the physical body. Because he ain't concerned about it. The physical body is not his first concern. He didn't come down to save your physical body. It's to save your spirit and your soul so that you can know yourself and you know that you will never be enslaved. That's why, again, some people say, the truth will set you free. No, the truth won't set you free. It will make you free. The truth will make you free. Once you realize that there is nothing that is hidden from you because it's always in you, and all you have to do is sit your behind down, put all the knowledge and all the wood down, every thought, every concern about this world, and go within yourself because you can't take anything with you. And that's what the parable meant by saying it will be easier for a camel to get through the eye of a needle than for the rich man to get into the kingdom of heaven. For some reason, people keep thinking that people with material wealth is the only thing that parable is talking about. What he's saying is you can't get into the kingdom of heaven. Where is the kingdom of heaven? How do you get into the kingdom of heaven? Where is it? Kingdom of heaven, hope, heaven on planet earth. How do you get there? Heaven is within you. But it's really not within you because you have to go within you to get out into heaven. That's how you get there. And you can't get there with all this knowledge and facts and all these problems and things that you're talking about because you can't do it. That's a rich man. You're filled with thoughts. You're blocked. You can't get through there. A camel can get to the eye of a needle better than you because you can't control your mind. You don't know how to empty your mind. You don't know how to put away garbage. And again, let's put that on the macro level. On the macro level, say you're going to the airport. You done packed all your toiletries. You got all your stuff. You're ready to go. You're rushing to get to that plane. But they want to check your bag. You got some stuff you can't take on there. You can't enter with it. What do? You can't enter with this. You got to leave it behind. Same thing with, you know, principle of meditation or prayer. You know, and we were taught, and Brother Son, and this, I'm telling you, there's so much, and I'm so thankful to the Most High. You know, and people get it strange when Jesus said, you can't get through the Father only through me. That's the only way you can get there. So we were taught to just go and pray. But that's an insult. How are you going to go to the holiness of holy, the cleanliness of all cleanliness, the pureness of all purity, all knowing, all knowledge, without preparing yourself? You're filthy. How can you just go and talk, you know, and just enter his court? You can't do that. And this is Jesus is the meditation part. So I'm saying you have to prepare yourself. You have to cleanse. You got to breathe right. You got to empty your mind of all of this stuff. You have to check your heart. You know, make sure it's clean, it's pure before you can truly get out there in the universe. Because if you don't do it right and you're out there in the universe and you're not guided by the Holy Spirit, when you're out there in the universe, you all kinds of things. That's where the no-see-ums are, that you're scared to go to sleep at night. That's where they are. And if you're not protected and guided by the Spirit, guided by Jesus, you're in trouble. And that's the Spirit. So he said, you cannot get through the Father without going through me. And macro, that is meditation, preparing yourself, cleansing yourself, cleansing your mind, cleaning your heart. Just like on that airplane ride. You can't take that crap with you. So what, and do they put it in a safe place for you for when you return? No, they throw in a great big garbage can. They probably have a smallish bar afterwards, but you don't get it. You know, and they're not going to give you a check for it. They're not going to write you a receipt for it. You can't enter with it. You cannot enter. You cannot sit at the feet of the Most High with all that junk. It ain't going to work. People ask me all the time, Marpo, do you have any meditation practices? Yeah. Control your mind. Empty all that junk out of here. Sit down. Breathe. Check your heart. You know, make sure it's right. You know, and then by the time you do all of that, you know, because now you have nailed the mind. You done nailed it. You done nailed it. You done nailed it. You done nailed it. Now it's that tunnel that you have to travel through that tunnel. That's what I'm saying. You have to make sure that you're clean. So when you travel through that tunnel, you're out there in the universe and you want to sit at the feet of the Most High. But there's all kinds of things out there that want to stop you and going to all there because now you're vulnerable. You're naked. You're out there. You're out there. And this is why a lot of people, when they try to exercise and do the combining and all this stuff, And they tell you when you're doing these things that you don't do them alone because you need to have someone there with you to wake you up or to bring you out of it because not you're going to become a vegetable because now you're out there and you're vulnerable and you aren't prepared. You're not clean. You're not guided by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. You know, so now you're being attacked out there in the universe. People can't see it. They can't see your mind. They don't know what's happening to you, but now your spirit is just all out there fighting, which is coming back and attacking your soul, and it's going to take over your body. Duality, polarity, as above, so as below. And people say, stop all this fighting. Man, they're warring in heaven. They're going crazy. They're fighting like crazy. You know, and I used to tell, one of the great things my mother used to tell me, people say, man, I pray all the time, and you know, and nothing ever happens, they don't come. And I realized that, don't you know, for the faithful ones, you know, truly the ones who truly love, you know, and know the Spirit, once it's in a prayer out there, don't you know the things that your angelic guides have to go through to come back to make sure that your prayers and your thoughts are getting to you? They have to fight. It's a battle. It's a constant battle. That's why it said it may not come when you want to, but it's always on time. And another thing I want to read this here, you know, people talk about, well, what's all this separatism and this racism and all this stuff right here, da-da-da-da-da-da. Well, how can that be when my big brother came just for us? You know, he came for his people. Mm. So how can that be? And again, here in Matthew, we'll go to Matthew 15 again, and we're going to verse 21. And I know you know where I'm coming from, verse 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed unto a coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan, a white woman now, because I think it's in St. Mark, and it says she's a Greek, okay, came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Lord, have mercy on me, O Lord, thy son David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciple came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she cries after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then she came and she worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered her and said, is it not meant to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs? And she said, truth, Lord, let the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman of thy great faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. What is that saying? It's saying that he recognized that he come for his people. I'm here, I got to save my people first. You know, but now because you recognize who I am and you recognize that I can help you, you want to worship and give me respect. Now because of my compassion, I can decide and selectively help you. That doesn't mean that I don't recognize who you are and I want to help all y'all, but you came with respect and my compassion, I'm going to help you. Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. We can't have this hatred that we're going to block ourselves from people. You know, I'm telling you, no one can be as angry as white supremacists and the white people as me. Truly, you can't. We argue and dance on that one. You know, but I can't harden my heart when someone comes to me and says, yes, I know, but please help me. I have to have that compassion. If I don't have any compassion, I'm lower than her. I'm lower than the beast. That's what separates us from the beast. That's what separates us from the beast is compassion. And here is another thing, brother son, that is just so phenomenal. Okay. And where am I? Okay. Here is in, where am I? Just half the darn thing. There you go. Okay, hold on. Let me find out where it is. Oh, okay. It was in Mark 7, 7 chapter, verse 24 and 7, where it talked about the Greek woman begging. Okay, so it's different how they have, you know, these are different people who wrote different letters. Okay, once it was a Canaanite, but she was Greek, but, you know, it's white. White, Canaanite, the same thing, the cursed seed of Ham, which is Canaan. Okay, but I want to get here, 25. Okay. This is phenomenal. This should shut everybody up, but it doesn't. Okay, and here, verse 25, chapter 25, and verse 33 says, and he shall, let me go for 24. Okay, now we're going to start at 30, just so we can carry it through. 29. And unto everyone that hath, shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But for him that have not shall be taken away even that which he has. And cast ye the unprofitable servant unto outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the glory, all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as the shepherd divided his sheep from the goat. He shall set the sheep on his right hand and the goat on his left hand. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inheritance of the kingdom, prepare for you the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and yet you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in, naked and clothing. But again, I want to read that. He's separating the sheep from the goat. That is a macro. That's a physical thing. Now, why would he use a sheep and a goat? How would you compare that? Well, I mean, how can you assimilate that? I can look at that with my, you know, the sheep got the same hair as me. You know, that 9-inch curly woolly hair, the same hair as me. And the goat has the same hair as my oppressor, that straight 6 feet of hair. That's the goat. That's what he's talking about. And see, and these people, they know that. That's why they use the goat in their demonic occult rituals. These people have sex with goats. So they know who they're talking about. They see, but we don't know. We try to be ignorant about it all the time. We are separate. We are different. We breathe differently. We feel differently. We heal differently. We learn differently. And we have to be together because that's how we heal. That's how we grow. That's called coupling, you know. Just like, you know, baby pups, when they come out of the womb, you know, any twin, they stick together. They need that heat, that energy. That's how they grow. And that's what we need. We need to be together so that we can grow, that heat, that energy. We need from one from another. This is how we grow, because we are the trees, that strange fruit. We are those trees, Brother Sun.
Yeah, let me see the one thing again. Let me do it one more time. Gotta do it.
Oh, crazy, she was
that. Yeah. Man, so you just go like, woo, like, you just feed it. It's just like a back and forth tennis thing. Hey, alley hoop. Yeah. Oh, goodness, you told me something. But, yeah, I like one thing that you, well, so was so many, not one. But one thing, you can read from the, like I said, Sacred Wisdom Door to Houdi, or they call it the Kabbalion, or the Hermetic text. There's one good thing, not one good thing, but there's a point in there that you when you read, like I said, all truths are but half truths. I got it in one point. And when I think about that is how we argue over points. And we try to, you know, we all are in debate about things. And like, this is the fact. He said, all truths are but half truths. And we're
going
to just sit there and think about that and meditate on that. Like, man, what is that all about? So, like, see, when you argue with somebody and trying to make your point all the time, just think about it. Just think about that quote, all truths are but half truths. Especially when you're dealing with this history thing. When you're digging and trying to find something that happened 2,000 and 3,000 years ago, you know what I'm saying? And somebody is telling you that, like you said, sister, we're researching something, and then somebody else has put in a book, and then we start to regurgitate a lot of the stuff that's put in the book. How do we know exactly if these things are actually 100% the truth? And I've been looking at something, too, and I got an old saying. I just started looking at it earlier. I mean, not earlier, but I was looking at it, and I started trying to figure out about a lot of people. Let me get it right. A lot of us, we want to debate with people. We just want to be right. You know what I'm saying? We argue with you just to be right. Our thing is now, we have to stop wanting to be right all the damn time. My thing is, what I mean by that, we got to stop being right and be factual. It's one thing to be right, because me, like I said, you know, like men, like I said, I can be in a relationship, well, I am in a relationship with my woman, and we argue, we're going back and forth and arguing about something. And she's 100% damn wrong in what she's saying. And for me to get out of that argument, like I said, you know what, you're right, I ain't arguing with you no more, you're right, but she's wrong. I just bow down and it's just to make her right. It's a lot of these times when we do, people just want to be so right all the time. They argue with you and argue with you just to be right, but they're not factual in what they're saying. So that's the thing we have to stop doing. Even with all of these damn debates and shit, I mean, a lot of these debates people be having, it's not all the time that they're factual on what they're saying. They just want to be right in what they're saying. A lot of people are going with it because the presentation, maybe how it was presented, and they think, hey, they damn right in what they were saying. Nope. So I, like I said, one more time, y'all, let's start being factual and not right. Because somebody
wants right.
you not to argue with you, say, yeah, you're right, brother. You're right, sister.
But then, brother, just like you saying that, though, now in your spirit, in the spiritual realm, you just told a lie. I mean, because you don't really believe that they're right. So, you know, and I do that too. So you have me think now, wow. So maybe now we have to find a better way to handle that. So just saying that they're right. That's an X on us.
Yep. We tap out the thing. Like, yeah, hey. But yeah, because some people want to argue with you about it. You just tap out of it and like, I ain't going to argue
just
with you.
There you go. Just say, we're not going to argue. You got that one. I ain't going to say you're right. I'm going to be cognizant of that. Go ahead on. You got that one. You got it.
Yeah, because they'll go around that thinking they're right. You're right. Mm-hmm. And let me see, what did I do with that quote? And there's a quote I want to read. We talked about our brother Malcolm John Garvey earlier, Malcolm, brother Garvey. And there's a quote he said here. It says, up, up, you mighty race. You can accomplish what you will.
What you will.
This is the motto we need to tell our family. It says, up our mighty race. Up your mighty race. We can accomplish what we will. That's a motto I had to make for my own self one time. And I had to say, because, you know, I know I didn't really just go through the whole school system and all of this. And I used to, you know, y'all heard me tell this story before. I used to have this thing, this notion of people saying if you don't go to school and get an education, you're not going to be nothing. You're not going to be able to accomplish nothing. So, you know, for a minute, you know, I started thinking that because I was getting in a lot of trouble and all of this. But then once I started getting the word came to me and I started changing my life over for the better, I started saying, you know what? Nobody can hold me down but me.
That's
nobody.
Right.
So even in, as a mighty race, as he was saying, as a mighty race, and we are, we know, we see our history. We see what we have accomplished as a people. No matter what our adversity has been, no matter what obstacles they put in our way, we've seen how we have overcome, as Jesse would say. So, and with this accomplishment, like I said, nobody can hold you down but you. Like I said, I don't care what happened to us, we always make it. We always make it. Look how far we came with this thing that says slavery and all of this. Look what we have achieved, y'all. I ain't talking about the ones who don't sold out. I'm talking about the ones who just stuck with the gun, with the real fight, liberation fight, and all of this. And look what we have accomplished. And look what we are accomplishing still. So like I said, that's what I like what the brother's saying. You can accomplish what you will. Only thing you got to do is will it. Put it in the wheel. That's what they call my prayer was talking about the Bible. Go ahead, Mom.
No, go ahead. You did it. You're going. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, even when they say that the Creator, all of these things is probably just a thought, and they put it in this wheel. And they would say, amen, or let it be. Or, I forgot about the whole thing. And in Holy Quran, it says, amen, or so shall it be. It's a wheel. Mm-hmm.
Anything
you put your mind to, like I like the master teacher, Dr. Young put this in there. He had a book called The Mechanics of the Mind, or he had another one called Your Potential. Anything you set in your mind to achieve, you can do it. But you got to realize that you have the potential to do anything you want to do as long as you don't let those obstacles get in your way, those stumbling blocks. We do have stumbling blocks in our way. You
that's
don't
right.
have that. You don't always
that's
have
right.
adversities in your way. That's supreme balancement in our life. That's supreme balancement in nature. It was a white boy told me one time when I was really studying Islam, and I didn't really understand it at one particular time because I was always just quoting the Holy Quran and quoting the Bible from a religious point. The white boy, he was a Satanist, y'all. He told me, we were arguing about God and what's good and evil. He told me, he said, you can't have good without evil. Now, at that time, I'm just saying myself, devil and God. You know, I don't know no better time. I'm still just a regurgitator. I'm still just a parrot. I'm a quoter. I'm just going to quote, but I'm hearing the imams and stuff saying. So now if I see this, and the master teacher said, you talk about balancement, what they said, agreeable and disagreeable. All of this thing is a part of nature. When we look at nature, that's what makes everything work. You can't start your car. If your battery don't have a positive and a negative post on it, your car ain't going to start. You ain't going to have no light.
Right.
You ain't going to have no electricity to get into your battery. Everything in your house, there's a negative and a positive. There's a hot and a ground. If you got
that's
a ceiling
right.
fan in your house, you hook your ceiling fan up. You got to hook the hot in hot in they call a positive and a negative, the hot in the ground to make that thing work.
Mm-hmm.
So even in that, even in our life, if we're walking out here, we're going to meet those adverse forces out here just going to stop you from trying to achieve what you're going to have. So like I said, like my girl was saying earlier, sometimes you're going to have to get on that what you call so-called disagreeable level. Okay, you might say that whatever you might disagree, it might be something that somebody might agree. And see, we got this whole twisted up religious mind to be on days of good and evil type thing.
Mm-hmm.
We like to talk to agreeable and disagreeable. What might be to you is disagreeable might be agreeable to me. I might like pig feet. You probably
that's
don't
right.
like pig feet. Not that I do, y'all.
Right.
No,
I think
laughing over there. And I might like. You might like side salad. I might don't like side salad. So you know what I'm saying? You might, hey man, eat that pig feet. That's poison, brother. That's the devil. You see, it's all about agreeable and disagreeable. What you agree with is still in the balance. But like I said, still again, I know Savannah Black tripping out there. And barbecue pig feet too, brother Black barbecue. Yeah, I'm just gonna get it out. But it's everything in it like this. So we saying here, just go back to Marvin and God, Brother Marvin and God. He said, we can't accomplish what we will. So, y'all, like I said, I know it gets frustrating, and it do. You know what I'm saying? You want to tap out sometime and tap the mat. I've been there, and I appreciate a lot of it. I'm going to say I appreciate my brother. But my sister, I'm for one thing, a long time, she's been encouraging me to keep on keeping on, his brother Jeffrey one more time would say. And my brother Savannah Black, you know, there's been some time, too. I talked to that brother. I like, man, get this, brother. I want you to take up. You do this. Now, he said, no, brother. You can't. So, you know, his brother's like, sisters and brothers like that, they will help you and encourage you and inspire you because they see your potential. Sometimes, too, like the doc said, we have to know our potential. Because, see, sometimes people can see something in you, see your potential that you probably don't see in yourself. That's why Michael Jackson keep on saying, y'all, look at the man in the mirror. Look at yourself. Look deep inside of you. And one thing, another thing, I'm going to get back into it because we're like, we got like 15 minutes. You talked about the Bible earlier about God. People saying, well, how come God hadn't come back to save us and do anything for us? He ain't coming back. Well, I'm going to take some scriptures myself. First book of Genesis. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to give y'all some. Maybe I'm right, maybe I'm wrong, but, you know, hey, I'm just giving y'all some.
Shine,
in the book of Genesis, it starts off when we talk about Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. It says, God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. And he says here, this is the key point. He says, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowls of the earth, and over every cattle, and over all things of the earth. Now, the word dominion right there means power. Now, if he gives you all power and dominion, it's like, and then I'm trying to find, I have thought in the Holy Quran, too. We're talking about when he created man in the beginning, in the Holy Quran. Okay, here's the Holy Quran. I'm going to go back to Genesis 2. In the Holy Quran, it says, the Surah 2, which would be like chapter 2, verse 30. He said, behold, the Lord said to the angel, I will create a vicegerent on earth, and they shall, and they said, without place therein, one who will make mischief and bloodshed. Okay, that's enough. But that word right there in the Holy Quran, when it says a vicegerent, in Islam, mm-hmm. that word says actually a khalifa is a successor. So if I'm your successor here, I created something, I made something, I created a business, and then I said, well, you know what? I'm going to let you take over. I'm going to retire. I'm going to let you take over. I ain't saying that the career or whatever or the greatest
right.
course of duty said that. But he said, if I could give you power, I gave you many. Look, it's your time to run this. Now,
right.
I don't give you all everything. I told you, I gave you power over the fish, of the sea, the every birds of the air, everything. You in control now. So that's why, like I said, a lot of people see it. We talk about the so-called white man, and now he's in there cloning. That's why he get in here, get in science lab, he gets cloning, he gets to doing all other things. See, he don't wait on so-called God to come back in no spaceship, no spacecraft to come back to do nothing, because he knows he has the power to do what he wants
right
here.
Right.
He's
that's
so-called.
Right.
And then, don't we say this sometimes? I remember saying it. I've said it. He said, white man, think he God. He acting like God. But damn it, he's doing right there what it says in the Bible.
He's making himself omnipresent. Computer technology. He is now omnipresent.
He's using that power. So that one when people say, well, God, how come God ain't coming back doing this? But you the God that's supposed to be here running this earth. You're supposed to be the God that figure this stuff out your own self. You ain't got to wait on nobody else to come back and do a damn thing when you can do something. That Doc said that too. I see brothers back on there too. He says that the help that you're looking for is at the end of your arm. The help you're looking for is at the end of your arm. And even the Bible said also too. It said that the so-called Jesus said in that scripture said that you can do greater works than he.
That's right.
The hell you sitting back waiting on somebody talking about a savior to come, and that one that is savior that's in the scripture told you, you can do greater works than him. So they say that he healed the sick, he opened the eyes of the blind, he did this, he did that. And you still sit there waiting, and he said you can do greater works than me. Now my dad would say, my biologic father said, boy, I don't want you to be a truck. My dad used to say, don't be no truck driver. He said, I don't want you to do that. But if you choose to, cool. I want you to do something better than what I'm doing. Now, why in the hell I do something under what he told me? Don't I'm supposed to be doing something greater than him. Like they kind of tell you this whole thing, talking about, I want to be like Mike. Y'all remember the tennis shoe curse? I want to be like Mike. Hell no, I want to be like Mike. I don't want to tie the record with Michael Jordan. I want to break Michael Jordan's goddamn record. That's the whole thing what that scripture was saying. You can do greater work. So don't sit back there waiting, y'all, on no damn body to come do nothing for you. Get up, family, and do what it is. So as a people, we can accomplish what we will, as long as we know we have that real power to do it, and we damn sure got the potential to do it. I think brothers are kind of black online with Peace to your brothers, kind of black.
Peace, brother. How you doing? Mama Pearl, what's going on, Mama Pearl? How everybody doing tonight?
I love you, brother. Susanna Black, Conscious Attack.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Interesting, great show tonight. You're talking about duality, and you're bringing up Jesus, you know, and the duality that we all have with inside of us, the good and the bad, the higher and the lower. And Brother Subway just now that spoke on Genesis 1 and 26, let us make man in our image and our likeness. It's interesting when you take the letters for God, G-O-D, and you put them under the alphabetical chart, number from, you know, and then number position on the English alphabetical chart, it equals out the 26, the word God. Also, saying God in Hebrew, which is Yahweh, if you put it under the Hebrew alphabetical chart, it equals out the 26. A lot of people, they look at the Bible from a dead state. I just had to say this right here, but I did a burn Crack of Jesus challenge, and a lot of people were hitting me up saying, well, you need to burn the Bible too. You need to burn the Bible too, you know. And I'm like, hey, whoa. I'm like, hold up for a minute. Now, we ain't burning no Bibles. What a lot of people don't realize, the Bible is the greatest metaphysical book ever written. We look at the Bible from a dead state. That's how come we can't get nothing out of it. That's how come we have people going around killing people in the name of this religion, killing people in the name of what they are reading out of the Bible, because they are reading the Bible from a dead state.
That's
our
right.
ancestors, they were geniuses.
Mm.
I'm talking about Albert Einstein can't even damn match the damn intelligence they had at the tip of their pinky finger. That's how intelligent that they were.
That's right.
But
that's
our
right.
ancestors, they knew of the trouble that was coming. It was written in the stars.
That's
they knew
right.
what was
that's
going to
right.
happen.
Woo.
You know, so what they did was they said, you know what? Damn. We got to let them know. So what can we do? Because they see them going around trying to destroy everything that was etched in stone. They see them taking the statues and taking off the noses and the lips and this and that. So what they did was they seen them pushing this damn book.
Mm.
And they knew that there was a master of literature at that time, not them, but us. So they said, you know what? As a matter of fact, you're going to write this book for us. And you better not. You're going to write it exactly how we said. No, exactly
That's
how
right.
we want you to write it. But our ancestors were so intelligent that they took that book, wrote the words out, and the cracker thought, well, the cracker people, the invaders, those people, y'all know what I'm talking about. They thought they were so damn intelligent. You know how sometimes you just want to do something for you without asking?
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, when they walk away, they think that you did something that they wanted you to do, but in actuality, they did something that you wanted them to do.
That's right.
And that's what our ancestors did.
That's right.
They took,
come on.
And they wrote this Bible. Now, we got to change things, bro. Yeah, all of my, they try to remix it and do all kind of shit to the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
But they still cannot take out the encodement for man and the original God out of that Bible. The who's who out of that Bible. But if people stop reading that Bible in a dead state and read it and put themselves into the stories of Moses, put themselves into the stories of Jesus, put themselves into the stories of Noah, then they will see their encodement of who they are from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet, from the bottom of their feet to the top of their head, from the first page to the last page of that Bible. They will see instruction on what to do, where
That's
they come
right.
from, where they're going, who they are. And also,
right.
what people don't realize on top of that is there are tools in that book
That's
that apply the right, you can have whatever it is you want. You know, it's like
That's
I was
right.
talking earlier. You know, anything that you see was once a thought manifested. Even when you look at a cigarette lighter. That damn cigarette lighter, it might have made it yesterday inside the factory, but that cigarette lighter came from a long line of tried and fail processes to get it right there to that little small compact form that you have right there. They went from stone on stone, stone on stick, flint.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? Carrying around, being a fire bearer.
Mm-hmm.
What your job is? My job is to be the fire bearer.
Come on.
If people look at Moses going up to the mountain and coming back down with the tablets, they see that story. You know, how they got lost inside the forest. You know what I'm saying? What, it was 40 years, Mama Brown? 40 years? How they got lost in the forest for 40 years?
Mm.
You know, but Moses went up to the top of the mountain, which is a representation, which is
Thank you.
The
Thank
line.
You. Thank you.
To the burning, the all-consuming fire, which is within inside of all of us.
That's right.
And he received the knowledge, but he had to come back down and deal with his physical self. And that's a representation of the children of Israel, because when he came back down, what were the children of Israel doing?
Smoking
blunts.
Yeah. Drop it like it's hot, man.
Drinking them thug passion. Yep, drop it like it's hot. You know, that running behind Michael Kors handbag. I'm talking about all kinds of stuff. But then the choice has been made right then. You either gonna stick with the God, higher man, spiritual man that's within you that you're carrying around, or you gonna go to your lower self. And you're going to bullshit, you're going to party, you're going to smoke, you're going to drink, you're going to have all. You're doing everything inside our lower nature state.
That's right.
Constantly.
That's right.
24.
That's right.
So you wonder, after they realized that they got tired and woke up with hangover, after they got these sexually transmitted diseases, they went bankrupt and, they lost their material possessions, they're like, you know what? This was a whole bunch of bullshit. I'm about to go back up to the mountain. But they found out that the mountain was closed off to them, and they were trapped. So running around the wilderness was their punishment for denying the higher self that's within inside of them, that God, that's you. But me just simply saying it is not enough. You just believing it is not enough. It comes to you knowing it. From your head to your toe, you have to know it. And that's why written over the temple, it says, know thyself. Don't believe yourself. Don't think yourself. Don't speak. Know thy. And a lot of us, we get confused because we're looking at this Bible, and we say, Noah built the ark, and there were two animals on each one. We have the king, the master over everything that creepeth and crawls, on the earth. But then we don't look at the Bible from a state of living to see that that's our blood, that's our air, that's our physical body.
Come on.
We don't look at the astral, from the birds flying to know that that's our higher self, our mind.
We look at it to find contradiction. We look at it to prove that there's something wrong in it. That's BS. That's BS. That's BS. But then, like you said, those are all stories. They keep reading the stories and forget the principle or the moral behind the story. It's like he's saying, stories change, but the principles remain the same. And
it's written in your DNA.
It's in your DNA. That's what I was going to say.
It's
now,
in
who
your
is
DNA.
Saying? Because you talk about Moses going up in the metaphysical mountains, which is his mind, and he come back down to reality, and they was wandering around the wilderness. Who's to say? And again, that's the macro and the micro. Who's to say that it was a physical wilderness? And it's not like what our people are going through right now in a state of confusion. They don't know who the heck they are. They're in the wilderness. But, they're fighting each other. We're attacking one another. We're setting each other up. We're confused. We're in the wilderness. So we're coming out of it. We're coming out. Brother Stone, what you're saying, and that's my favorite quote from my brother. Rise, you mighty people, and accomplish what you will. People always read over that. What you will. You have to will it. You have to will it. And that is, our faith. And that's what we talked about before. Faith is the substance of things not seen. It's the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not yet seen. So once you will it and you know it's going to happen because you know your God now because you willed it, it's done. just like any black magic, demonic culprit, when they put a spell on you, they leave it alone because they know it's done. They don't think about it anymore. Once they keep thinking about it, then you break the spell. So you will it, and it's done. And you just wait for it to manifest, and it will. But you have to continue to walk forward in it, you know, in the spirit, and it will manifest. It will manifest. I can't tell you how many times I recreated myself. I done gained and lost and gained and lost and gained and lost. Well, material things don't mean nothing to me. Don't mean a thing to me. I like nice things, you know, and I'm going to have nice things if I want to. But, you know, it don't mean nothing to me. Once I lost it, it's gone. I'll get something else nice. Because, like Jesus said, I came for you to have life and to have it more abundantly in all things, in all things. You know, and the Father said, yes, these things that the Jews have, I know you want them too. You know, but it's your soul. I want you to prosper as well as your soul prosper. So, it's more, you know, that's what I'm saying. People wonder what with God has to do. No, it's all about your soul growing. You want to grow within your soul because there is a separate life. You're in this construct, this organic portal, you know, but you are inside of it. There's a spiritual being inside of it. You know, I said before, people want to get it confused. A lot of people, I find out, they get scared, you know, when they hear the word spirit, so they want to call it energy, okay? Energy emits from the spirit, just like heat emits from a light. You know, you get energy from spirit, just like you get heat from energy, from light, or from that heating power, from any power source, you want to get heat. It emits that. And that is the energy, it's the heat that's being emitted from our spirit. And you talk, brother, about that burning fire, and we are. And fire is wonderful as long as you know how to control. See, people think that, you know, you can't fight fire with fire. And for me, again, with right knowledge, evidence, experience, and reasoning, I've experienced that. My father had to burn the field many times. And what did he do? He put a circle. There's a fire breaking out in the field. He run around to get in front of that fire. They dig whatever they dig, and they burn around the fire. So you're fighting fire with fire, because fire ain't going to burn twice. Once you burn that circle, once that fire gets to that, which has already been burnt, that's it. You fight fire with fire, duality. And then you have to learn how to control your fire. That's, again, about controlling that mind. Because I'm telling you, boy, it's so easy when I can get blood in my eyes and I can't see. You know, and I hate when someone try to hold me back, because now this fire, I'm in control. It may look like I'm under control, but I'm in control. And get the hell out of my way, because I can't see. So I'll burn your ass, too.
How you play us?
Wow, this has been awesome. We talked about so much. And I want to go back and I want to read something, you know, because I don't know if it was on either one of your shows, Savannah Black, or even one of your shows, son, where someone came on and they quoted from my brother, Ishaka Musa Barashango book. Now, Baba Khalid, the elder who was, you know, sitting in the background with us, that is Ishaka Musa's son-in-law, okay? So I have, you know, the book. That's what I'm saying. I'm going to be having all of these great elders come through. They're still here, and they want to hear, and they want to talk to you all, you know, because, like I said, they built this nation. We have a government, provisional government for the Republic of New Africa, that they have built. And all of these elders, these freedom fighters, these revolutionaries, they have all have a book of the stumbling blocks that they had, you know, had to conquer. And they have a book, and they want to pass along to someone that they can entrust with it, so they don't have to go through stumbling blocks. So they want to pass along to someone who realizes, okay, well, gee whiz, I don't have to reinvent the wheel. My brother, my elder, them took it this far. He done did all that. He done showed me the stumbling blocks, the roadmap, and let me take it this far. You know, so this is, and then they're looking to find you all so that they can pass their life to. They have to pass it. You can't leave. You can't have all this stuff, gain all this stuff, and leave it and not pass it along. Because, again, like I said, where are you going when you leave here? Going straight back to the Most High, who's going to, and there's only one judge. You know what I'm saying? Okay, you got all this knowledge, you done kept all these jewels, and who you fed with that? Nobody? You mean you bring all this stuff back to me with the rod anyway? Yeah. But I wanted to read something from his book. This is African People and European Holiday and Mental Genocide. It's from my brother Ishaka Musa Shango. Whenever I hear that, I feel like, Musaka. Okay. He talks about the Africans of antiquity sailed the seven seas, okay? So we think that this white beast, this villain and recessive Caucasian fella, was navigators, but no, it was us, you know, and we, and on all those transatlantic slave trade ships, I'm going to come back, I'm going to read some more of the Garvey voice, Marcus Garvey's voice of the president, you know, Sangor, who is the president of UNIA right now. You know, he wrote some articles, and Marcus Garvey wrote an article, and he talked about, you know, even on that transatlantic slave ship, how we, our ancestors, had overtaken, killed some people, and took the ship back home, or back to Jamaica, and picked up some other people. We had killed so many of them were killed, and we took the ship, because we were the navigator. And it says, centuries upon centuries before Columbus, Africans are present in America, okay? Centuries upon centuries before America, Africans were present in America, which, of course, is not called that at the time. We find evidence of African presence on American continent to date from as early as 1200 to 650 B.C. From millennia, Africans have sailed the high seas. The Phoenicians and African people circumnavigated the world in the days of the Great Pyramid builders of Ethiopia and Egypt. In fact, voyages from Africa to America are somewhat commonplace during certain eras in Africa history. Some 50 of these voyages have been recorded by Professor Leo Werner in three-volume works, Africa and the Discovery of America. Black historian Dr. John G. Jackson presents many of these facts in his book, Man, God, and Civilization. Other references to African presence in America are extensively investigated by another black scholar, Professor Ivan Van Sterma, in his monumental work, They Came Before Columbus. You know, I just wanted, you know, to say that, you know, that we were here. We did all these things. These devils, they learned, and they learned it from us. Like you say, those ones who are on top of the boat, who taught, you know, these beasts what to do, because they had a contract, you see. You know, they made a contract with these beasts, you know, because they thought that, again, they were better. They wanted to be better because I guess they had some knowledge or some science that they created. So because they had that and they suffered, they kept it from the people. They didn't feed their people. They fed the enemy, the beast, the knowledge. But, again, people don't realize how the spirit works. You're all going to go back to the Most High. You're going to be judged, and you're going to be held accountable for all those things that you have done. You're just going to be accountable for it, you know. But this is a great book. I have two of his books. I have two volumes. There's another one that I'm waiting to get, and it's just phenomenal. And the name of African was called Akejuan. But I'm telling you, once I started reading the first book, I was so angry. Man, once you read what this brother has got in this book, you'll realize that having our children in his European school is us being as fools. Because everything in their history that glorifies them has been a tragedy, a travesty, and a horrible existence for us. Everything in history that glorifies them has been a travesty and a horrible situation for us. and they've got our children, you know, praising them, not even realizing the horror that they have done to us to get to where they are being praised. So we
you know
we got to backtrack.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Mom.
No, you go ahead. I was just going to say we have to backtrack and get back to truly being, you know, the first teachers. And one of the biggest problems, and I'll continue to say that, is us, the woman, us sisters. We have lost our place. We have lost our minds. Sisters, I remember, and you know, truly, and I see this, that's why I get so confused now. You know, when sisters got together, women got together, it was a loving, bonding thing. Now, we're now able to sit down and share some of the physical things that we're going through as only a woman, though, because we didn't have, you know, medical doctors and things that saw about, you know, the black woman, and we still don't. Most of the research is done on men, specifically the Caucasian men. There's not a lot of research done on women. So we are able to share and diagnose ourselves, parenting tips, you know, how to, you know, how we are using our time and, you know, keeping the house together and the food together and the children together and the bills together and the, you know, all of these things. Women have to be multitaskers all the time. And we're about our families. But we have lost that now. Like I said, if I'm teaching my children to do unto others as you wish for them to do unto you, and you teaching your children, you're not teaching your children at all. Like I said, you don't have to teach a child to be bad. You have to teach them to be good. You know, but then it's going to be a travesty. This is why we got each other fighting one another, attacking one another, you know, hating one another. How can you hate your brothers and your sisters? How can you be in a position where you say you want to help your people and you're fighting your people? I mean, what the hell is going on? And I don't see how readers are in a position and they see this. How are you allowing this when you know that there are culprits from COINTELPRO and the CIA who are doing the exact same thing that you're seeing these people do? They're running all the good people away. These people are strategically, in front of you in broad daylight, they create lies and fabricate things on you. And these leaders know it because they send them out. But we don't cast these things from amongst us. I don't get that. You know, I don't work with evil people. I don't work with my enemies. I don't want my enemies close to me. I already know who you are. But I understand the science of why, you know, in the black nation we do it because they say, okay, we know who they are, we see them. But if we get rid of them, they're gonna bring someone else in. And then we gotta start this whole process all over trying to figure out who the hell they are. You know, so I get that, you know. But, man, dealing with, you know, someone who, you know, is your enemy and you know that they're no good. And hear me, I'm in rare form right now because I was born a soldier in the army of the Messiah Jesus. I was born that soldier. I was ordained a warrior for the Most High. Okay, so now it's kind of hard for me to readjust myself, you know, because like I said, I'm in real form right now. I'm a battle axe. That's what I am. I'm after my babies, and I always look worldwide, national. I don't think about a block or a neighborhood or a community as just being that, because I've got too many babies all over the world. I have brothers and sisters all over the world. If you think that we are trapped here and we're walking around, you know, in the wilderness, that's what's happening all over the world. So, you know, I'm being a mother that I am, knowing how to compartmentalize and, you know, being a multitasker, I can think about more than just what's in front of me. That's why I appreciate working with our government that we have right now. And I want to tell everybody again, you know, we see all the devastation and all the crap that's going on. That's why I read that this is not a war. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, which is the government because this world is ruled, governmental rule, and it's going to take a government to come forth to a government. Power only succeeds to power. It's not going to take a group. You know, everybody's running around and want to be a hardhead, and this is what boggles my mind. You don't want to be a part of the United States system. You know that the Constitution, you know, was not written for you. It wasn't meant for you. You know, we're not even involved in that. You know all these things because you're scholars. You know, but you're not concerned with coming to build up your black government so you can combat this white supremacy government. You know what I'm saying? We have got to be about our business, and it's governmental business, and it says that principalities. And like I said, we all said our ancestors wrote these steps for us, not stumbling blocks, but building blocks. They're building blocks. They're written. They told us where the stumbling blocks is. They told us how to lift not only our consciousness and our consciousness and our body, but to, you know, but we have to do it. We have to lift up, you know, and know who we are, you know. But we have to get involved in our business that's doing our government. We have two. I mean, we got all kinds. If you want to belong to a certain sect or a certain group or religion, you know, that's whatever floats your boat. But these two governments, they're not interested in trying to control your mental mind or your religion, your sect, or whatever. They're for all black people. We have the UNIAACO, that's the Universal Negro Improvement Association and African Community League, which is founded by our great brother, Marcus Messiah Garvey. You know, they just had their 100th centennial, you know, in New York just a couple of weeks ago, you know. So, like I said, people talk about Marcus Garvey. And I had to blast someone on Google+, talk about, oh, he was a bum, he was this, he was that. Yeah, towards the end, after all of these so-called brothers and sisters sold out on him, you know, and betrayed him, he lost all his worldly goods. But you can't deny this brother, the only man who brought all these people together, all of them, without any electronics. How the hell did he do that from all over the world? He willed it. That's the spirit. You have to will. Rise up. You not erase and accomplish what we will. We have to do it. You know, everybody's looking for the next Malcolm. You're looking for a Martin. But, you know, they didn't know that this was in them. This is not what they grew up or intended to be. Malcolm was a pimp at one time, right? Martin, you know, he was also a playboy too, you know. But there's something in his spirit that put him in a position, and they realized, okay, I'm not worried about this here physical body because I know that, you know, this is my place. This is what I'm meant to do. I got to speak up. I got to will this. You know, I can't sit back and be quiet and wait for someone. They don't even wait for someone to, you know, to hold them back. And sometimes there's some things you just got to say and do because the spirit is in you. You got to get it out. And we all have to do that. And it's not just one thing. Malcolm X was the only one who said, by any means necessary. And he coined that phrase, and it stuck. In fact, it was Marcus Messiah Garvey who said that first, by any means necessary, because our enemy has done so much. They've done through the whole pot of soup at us, and you know everything is in soup, so it's going to take everything to correct you, by any means necessary. And now it's by any and all means necessary. But we have to get together and build our government. We've got the UNIA, and now what I represent is the provisional government for the Republic of New Africa, 46 years old, was formed by the freedom fighters. I think it was 1968, about 100 freedom fighters and revolutionaries got together, all with different ideologies. And let me tell you this, though. The provisional government for the Republic of New Africa is the only ones who have done actual battle with this beast. That's why they won't mention the provisional government and the Black Panthers, because we battled. They battled that beast. They wrestled it. They killed it. They shed blood. We shed blood. They shed their blood. That's what I say. Everybody give all of the accolades to Martin Luther King, as if it wasn't for the freedom fighters who were shutting their shit down. They shut down. I mean, I lived in New York City when the schools were shut down for weeks. The subway was shut down for weeks. Wall Street crashed for weeks. That was our brothers and sisters, the freedom fighters, retaliating. And once they mess with Wall Street, they're like, hey, let's back up off these niggas. Let's back up off these niggas. It wasn't Martin Luther King alone. You know what I'm saying? You're right. We have to put that negative, that 180 of the negative with the 180 of the positive, take some of that, be our mathematical, you know, professors that we are, you know, so we can balance some things so that we control, you know, where we walk, because we are, as, you know, the atoms on the periodic table, you know. We are that. We, wherever we walk, because we are made up in our construct, in our spirit, and our energy, each time we walk, we move, we change the environment. And because now, like you said, there's creep man and woman in our image and after our likeness, that, you know, because the whole universe is mental, what is the image? People thinking that it's the physical thing. Well, that's where your mind is, and that's what you, that's what you get. I'm thinking mental, created after the image, you know, in the universe. That's why our mind is not even on our body. It's out there. We're created in the image of the Most High. And after his likeness, we're able to speak things into existence. And like you said, Brother Sagana, that cigarette lighter it was a thought before it became into existence. Someone spoke it and made it so. That's the likeness we can create. So when people stop looking at the physicality, and that's why our brother, my big brother, the Messiah Jesus, said, okay, well, hey, shoot, give the Caesar what is Caesar, but you give the God what is God. Anything that's material, that's Caesar. Go on, that's be after Caesar. Anything that's spiritual and everlasting, that belongs to the Creator. So you give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and you give to the Creator what is the Creator.
Sure. Oh, Mama Pearl, I know it's getting kind of late. We're in overtime. We got one more call I want to speak with you, sister.
Yay, bro.
912. Can you see? Okay, 912. Oh, hotel. Sound like the Black Messiah. Please see you.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you know, earlier I was on, and I understood I got muted. I don't know if anybody else heard that, but I don't even know if my conversation I was spitting earlier in the background was causing interference.
I ain't never heard you.
Oh, okay, all right, yeah. But you know, just keep it all real live, because you know, I'm in my household right now. I'm just talking to my daughter. And she ain't nothing but 2 years old. But at the same time, if I die or go somewhere because of the cause, because it's things that we have to deal with as black men, either we gonna suffer incarceration, either we gonna be dead, or either they gonna deem us totally crazy and just write us off.
So they gonna take it out on your daughter too now. They ain't just stopping
us,
men. They killing our babies.
Yeah, I understand. You know, I understand they take it on the daughter. I understand that. And they do take it on the daughter. And right now I'm expecting another daughter, but them are nations.
That's right.
And I had to come to deal with it because, you know, I got one son, so I'm blessed to have a son. And even, like I tell people right now when I'm speaking right today, man, you think that I ain't doing what I'm supposed to do? The game is, I know they're going to come for my son. I only got one son. So me speaking right now, And it's something I deal with every day. It's something that if people might not speak of. I'm like, man, I got one son. I'm teaching him everything I'm saying. I'm teaching him to be a melanated being, stand on his square, know his 360 degrees, learn his 720, learn what is high as below. Because as deep as you are, it is the only as the high as you can get. I'm teaching my son, you know, the day I call him, he know my number, he recognize numbers now. So he like, hold up. I had to laugh.
How old is he?
He is 7.
Wow. Now, let me tell you this, and that's a wonderful member, and I'm glad you said that you're teaching him. Now, because when he turned 8, all the sins, they stick to him. You know, that's why it's so important that you have 7 years to give them this righteous wisdom so that they can walk straight and grow up straight. Next year, when his birthday comes, the time you turn 8, all of them sins. That's why he's got to learn them now. But he'll have time to go out again with this experience, evidence and reasoning, to grow straight. But if you don't give him the tools or the ammunition that he needs to go into this crooked world and walk straight, all of them sins will be on him, you know. So you're doing the correct thing as a parent, and you're preparing him for that.
That's why I taught him his supreme math and his supreme alphabet from day one. And, you know, one thing I teach, like, everything I know, I give it to my kids. I give it to them straight, bathing them with nothing but sun, nothing but light. I give them nothing but light. But I know who could do what. Who could do what? I'm not so controlling. I want you to be what? I recognize your talents. See what your talent is. If I see you picking up a pencil and drawing or doing this and that, hey, man, maybe you want to be an architect. Maybe you want to be a writer. But whatever you want to do, like my son played football. And he said, I want to do this. I say, okay, if you want to do this, you're going to do this on the field. But people put him in different positions. And he could play a little bit of both because he's young right now, so they'll put him at running back. But he's good at linebacker. But I say, son, if you want to be a running back, because he's good at running back, and he only good at running back because that's what he want to do. And I tell him, and I steal in him, man, this is what you got to do when you do that. And when I come around and he do what he want to do, he shine like I don't know what. And people just don't know. When you tell your kids something or you deal with them and you come with them and support them and what they want to do, I always want to be a rap artist. I had to do it by myself. I had to make my people support me. But when you got a child, I know my child. Now, if he tell me some BS, I'm like, hey, bro, now I ain't going to knock you, man. But you got to show me this and that if you want to do that. And I'm going to support you, and I'm with you. But come on, man, you letting me down. I'm with you, man, but you can't keep doing that. And I tell him that at a young age, I'm with you, man. Whatever you want to do, I'm with you. But you ain't going to make me look crazy, bro. But the things he do and he want to do and he good at, I support him at whatever he want to do. But I know him. I recognize his talent. I'm not biased. Now, I done got totally off of everything, the point I want to make, but it's still real and relative that when I deal with my child or all my children, I recognize their talents. I see what they're doing. If they come to me and be like, I want to do this, I'm like, okay, I got you. I'm going to support you. And no matter what I got to do, I'm struggling, but I'm going to fund you. But, hey, if you want to sit there and play, no, I can't do that, man. Because, no, what you want to do, you're going to do it. But I'm not forcing you into nothing. But what I do recognize about you, I'm going to let you know about yourself, your character, and what you're doing, and what I can tell you that you would be best at doing that you want to choose But at the same time, I'm not going to tell them they can't do anything they want to do because them being a part of me, nobody can't tell me what I can't do. If you're going to tell me I can't do it, then I'm going to find a way to do it and be the best at it.
I know, that's right. And one of the things I've always, you know, discerned within myself that it, if it can be done and it has been done, I know I can do it. Yeah.
That's right.
So, I mean, yeah. You know, but you're absolutely correct. You know, I too, I have a son and two daughters. And I was just speaking to my son the other day, you know, because, you know, he's working, he's come home, he's tired, you know, the food isn't prepared for him, you know, and his woman, his girl, you know, she gets home about 2:30, 3 o'clock, and she's sleeping. Now, he's coming home, it could be 5, 6, 7, 8, and she's still asleep, no food cooked. And I'm like, well, there I go, baby, I mean, what the hell is going on? I said, you know, when for getting their place. Well, Mom, you know, hey, you know, I'm all right. You know, I can cook for myself. I'm like, well, who the hell you think you're talking to? Was it me who taught you at 2 years old how to take care of yourself? Because in case I wasn't here, I know you could take care of yourself. I taught you to. And in case you met a trifling-ass woman who wasn't going to cook for you. I said, but that doesn't take away from the fact that she is supposed, you know, you come at 2:30, 3 o'clock. Okay, you sleep for 2 hours. You begin sleep for 3 hours. You can swap the food. But by the time your man come home, have a hot meal for his ass. What's wrong with you?
You know what?
Don't settle for that.
And you know what? You so right and exact to the point. You know, you right and exact to the point of what's really going on. It don't matter if you young or old, if a God, and I say God, a being woman, but what God truly is, and when you have the God is going to say what you saying, no matter what she doing, how she handling her business, if she got a person that's going to do what they supposed to do, it doesn't matter. No matter how low or how she get, she respects that this is a sun. This is a light. Because every woman out there, no matter if they on the lower level or the higher level, they send their son out there, they protect their son. But you want your son to sit there and do everything he do and be the best he can be and take on everything because he's the son. But it has to be the God is to be like, you the God.
Right.
Why
right.
are you stressing yourself so much when I born you to be the God and
that's
you
right.
not being the God because you being the God because you taking on so much suffering. The suffering
mm-hmm.
got to stop.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that BS, man. I made you a king. I born a king. What the hell is this shit? You know, you're a fucking diamond. Is she treating you like glass? I mean, you want me to say something? No, Ma, no. Okay, you better handle that now.
And you know, and you so real. I just want to say to the other sisters listening and people sisters that, I love her. I had a good mama, and I still got a good mama. That's why I had a good mama, you know. I have a good mama right now. My mama is so strong. My mama been through so much in her life. So my mama ain't got to learn. My mama ain't got to be so eloquent. I got to know so much knowledge. My mama knows life.
She got wisdom.
My mama knows life. My mama seen everybody in her family get education, get PhDs, and she got her education. She was a teacher, and she taught so many people in my city and my town because my mom was always real because she seen her brothers and sisters, and she seen her sisters strive so much to get high education, PhDs, to the point, you know, she was like, hey, son, you know, I did my education, and I got my education because I've seen what other people do. But my mama touched so many people in the community just with her education and got it. And she wasn't like the PhD level, but she really higher than the academia level than
there
what she was taught because she strove hard to be real. That's my mama. My mama told me that day. My mama told me the other day, she was like, I seen your Facebook page. It's like, you my Mary. She like, and my daughter showed me that because my sisters, you know, my sisters, I got a sister, I got sisters, man. They high in their education. They on their thing. They good. Everybody looking at me like, what? You know, because my sisters, they some beautiful sisters. They got their education like that. But me, my mama said, you know what? They showed me that you said that I was your Mary. And she said, man, that's the highest compliment that I could ever feel that anybody could get.
That's what I'm saying, you know, she got that wisdom, and she's a spiritual being. And that's one of the things, I had to learn into it, but I completely understand, you know, I don't know nothing, you know, and if you give me a praise, I'm going to say the devil or I and get right back to the Most High, you know, because I know nothing, truly. But when I get within myself and the spirit in me starts speaking, and Brother Son and Savannah Black, they can attest that they do the same thing. Hey, you'd be surprised. I have to sit back and listen to what the heck I said.
Yes,
because it wasn't coming to me. So, I mean, everybody who know nothing. And Brother Son, you read it out the Quran. You know, and what I've always said, there's always a higher level of awareness than the level that you are aware of. You know what I'm saying? So if you're so smart and such a scholar, and you know that there's nothing on this planet is solid. Everything has holes in it. Everything's vibrate. Nothing is solid. Why the hell is your word solid?
That's true.
And I know Brother Sam is getting late.
Yeah, it's almost.
Ooh, Brother Sean, it's nearly 11 o'clock. Hey, I love you all my brothers and sisters out there in the universe, my babies. You know, we're going to keep coming. I'm just going to feed the spirit, you know, feed your soul. That's all I can do because, hey, as far as doing a physical eating, you know, I'm still giving praises and thanks to the Most High for me to have a meal. So once I teach you how to feed your spirit and your soul, and you do things accordingly, and you know how to appreciate everything, even the littlest of everything, you give thanks, you will continue to grow. And like the Father said, I want you to grow and be prosperous even as your soul prospers. So I want to say to my brothers, I want to thank you all. I mean, I have so much love for my brothers. You know, I get, you know, a lot of people get it so mixed up because, like you said, Brother Susanna, they're on that lower level and you, Messiah, that lower level of thinking. They think because, you know, I love my brothers that it's a sexual thing. Come on, I can't have sex with everybody. You know, if they realize that I've been told this for so long because, you know, I'm trying to get to me, my spiritual me. It's not about the sexual thing, you know. So, but I know, you know, because you came from me. Yeah, and I know what my brothers, my sons, my boys are facing, you know. So I got to love my brothers. You know, I have so much love for my brothers as well as I do for my sisters. But I do know that my sisters are supposed to be on an even higher plane because all things did come through her. You know, so that's what I'm saying. If our sisters, if we were on our job and doing what we're supposed to do, our children, you all, me included, because I came from a womb too, we will be in proper accord. All. Now, let's say we got so many men right now disrespecting the sisters. And Brother Son, you read that when we talk about he gave man dominion over this and that and all these things. He never gave man dominion over woman. Never. We were maybe equal. Woman was created for his helpmate. You know, but then you, once you realize that the man is the head, true. You know, the man is the head, you'd be just like them damn statues that got the nose cut off. You can't turn your head despite your nose because you ain't got the damn neck because the woman is the neck. And once the woman realize how powerful that neck is, that head may say, uh-uh, I ain't turning, but that neck do what? You know, so that's balance. But we have to know how to do that without being deceptive or being harmfully deceptive. Because in order to give, you have to take. Right, that's that duality. And I argue with somebody about that. And like, how can you give something and take? Well, if I give something to you, I have to take it from somewhere. Even if I take it from me, I'm giving it to you. In order to succeed, someone has to fail. How does my success have to do what? That's balance. It's duality. You don't know where someone is showing on the world. It's not your problem. But it has, the universe is going to be balanced. If he gives to you, you got all this, someone's going to be lacking all that. That's why we're supposed to share, make things back in the, you know, but we don't get that. But we're going to get it. But brother, son, like I said, I love my brothers. I love you all, and thank you for being here with me and to the world. Hey, my Pearl coming. You know, I say, I'm coming for you. You may not like what I have, but I'm coming. You're going to get it anyway. Brother, son, you know my favorite. Tupac, B, love you, son. Shot.
Yeah, priest says we love you, too. You get that Tupac. Uh-oh. I just had it. It did knock me off.
Okay. Well, hey, that's what it is.
The boy skipped. Where it go, Tupac? Okay, here we go. Peace. I appreciate this number, Pearl. I'm much love to you always, too, and I thank you for this powerful opportunity to have us. Let us hear your wisdom, sister.
Thank you so much. I love you all so much. You and all praise to the Most High. Peace.
No changes. Wake up in the morning and I ask myself, is life worth living? Should I blast myself? I'm tired of being poor and even worse, I'm black. My stomach hurts, so I'm looking for a purse to snatch. Cops give a damn about a Negro. Pull a trigger, kill a nigga, he's a hero. Get it back to the kids who the hell cares. One less hungry mouth on the welfare. First ship them, don't let them deal with brothers. Give them guns, step back, watch them kill each other. It's time to fight back, that's what Huey said. Two shots in the dark, now Huey's dead. I got love for my brother, but we can never go nowhere unless we share with each other. We gotta start making changes. Learn to see me as a brother instead of two distant strangers. And that's how it's supposed to be. How can the devil take a brother if he's close to me? I let it go back to when we played as kids and then changed. That's the way it is. Come on, come on.
That's just the way it is. Things will never be the same. That's just the way it is. Oh yeah.
Hear me.
Oh, come on,
come on, come on.
That's just the way it is.
The way it is.
Things will never be the same.
Be the same. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh yeah.
That's just the way it is. Oh, yeah.
I see no changes, all I see is racist faces. Misplaced hate makes disgrace the racist. We under, I wonder what it takes to make this one better place, let's erase the waste. Take the evil out the people, they'll be acting right. It's both black and white, and smoke a crack tonight. And the only time we chill is when we kill each other. It takes guilt to be real time to heal each other. And although it seems ever since, we ain't ready to see a black president. It ain't a secret, don't conceal the fact. The penitentiary's packed, and it's filled with black. But some things will never change. Try to show another way, but you're singing in the dope game. Now tell me what's a mother to do. Being real don't appeal to the brother in you. You gotta operate the easy way.
I made a G today,
but you made it in a sleazy way. Selling crack to the kid.
I gotta get paid.
Hey, but that's the way it is.
Come on, come on.
That's just the way it is. Things will never be the same. That's just the way it is. Oh yeah.
Hear me.
Oh, come on,
come on, come on.
That's just the way it is.
The way it is.
Things will never be the same.
Be the same. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh yeah.
That's just the way it is. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
We gotta make a change. It's time for us as a people to start making some changes. Let's change the way we eat, let's change the way we live, and let's change the way we treat each other. You see, the old way wasn't working, so it's on us to do what we gotta do to survive. And still I see no changes, can a brother get a little peace? It's war on the streets and a war in the Middle East, and a war on poverty. They got a war on drugs so the police can bother me. And I ain't never did a crime I ain't have to do, but now I'm back with the lock, giving it back to you. Don't let them jack you up, back you up, track you up, and pimp smack you up. You gotta learn
that's all we need. Right, that, 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 that.
That's the way it is.
That's just the way it is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Things will never be the same. That's just the way it is.
Way it is.
Oh, yeah. That's just the way it is. Things will never be the same. That's just the way it is. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Love y'all. Strange Fruit Rising. Peace.